would you hold the data for 75 years, all of the clinical data, for 75 years from these if you were trying to be transparent? Tell me why.
This is a person who was vaccinated four times by Pfizer, 1 year since vaccination, tumors emerged, person was dead within a month. We got three biopsies out of them, one postmortem. All of them have SV40 and the origin of replication from the Pfizer vaccine.
SV40, or simian virus 40, reared its ugly head back in 1960 when scientists spotted it lurking in rhesus monkey kidney cell cultures that were being held to whip up polio vaccines. SV40, a tumor-making machine, has the large T antigen, a molecular wrecking ball that smashes into cellular control systems like P53 and retinoblastoma protein pathways, turning normal cells into rogue cancer factories. Fast forward to 2025, and messengers from a myriad of professions are shouting from the rooftops about SV40's presence in the COVID vaccines.
These vaccines are not vaccines. They are, in fact, a gene therapy based. This genomic integration, as the scientific literature makes clear, can lead to cancer development, immune system disruption, and more. The sheer levels of contamination detected, up to 145 times permissible limit in some cases, are extraordinary and far beyond what should be allowed in any medicinal product. In my work as an oncologist in the UK, I started to see a disturbing trend as early as February 2022. Patients who had been cancer-free for many years were suddenly relapsing with aggressive explosive cancers shortly after receiving booster doses of the COVID-19 vaccine.
I'll tell you a good story.
Okay.
I have three friends. All three of them had stage 4 cancer. All three of them don't have cancer right now at all. And they had some serious stuff going on.
And what did they take?
Jesus. They took some... what you've heard they've taken.
Ivermectin.
Fenbendazole.
These three advanced cancer patients experienced remission in two cases, complete remission, and in one case near remission, for an extended period of time, years after initiating this fenbendazole protocol, and none of them received chemo either, right? So this was with, it wasn't combination, a few were with a surgery, some did receive a brief dose of radiation, but in general, this fenbendazole was linked to extraordinarily, accelerated tumor reductions in a pretty short period of time with extended survival outcomes with no evidence of disease.
Yeah, I was off their charts, 1,498.
Yeah, the chart didn't even go that high.
That is something else.
That was December 31st. I took my first course of ivermectin on my birthday, February 2nd. February 11th, my CEA was down to 180.
Raise that up a little bit. Wow.
Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!
You're watching The American Journal with Tim Tompkins and Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Well, we are live, Rex Jones and Tim Tompkins on the network American Journal Meets Gray Area. Yet again, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. What I'm telling you, every time we get off of these shows, I'm just like, okay, that was great. What can I do next? What value can I give to the marketplace? I'm dedicated, man.
Dude, isn't it trippy though? Isn't it crazy? Cause like, it's like I'm dreaming, right? Like I wake up, I come to the studio, we do a great show and I leave and I'm like, is it good? Is it good? And we're both kind of like that. We watch it back and we see what people say and we're just so happy that y'all are happy with us here at the American Journal.
Yeah, we are super happy. We're just trying to bring a different flavor. This dynamic, man, I'm telling you, I'm so glad that we took the risk to do this when we first
Absolutely.
Met. Because it's everything. Like at the end of the day, we both felt like we had a message to bring to the wider audience. And, you know, I just feel like we're doing that and we're bringing content and it's content in a way where we can go a layer deeper than what everybody else is covering. So I'm just super privileged and happy to be here.
I think the important thing is we're not pretending to be quote unquote experts. We're not telling you to believe us because we say so or we prescribe to a political ideology that we're all loyal to like a sports team. We're in here like you trying to do the research, trying to go on that journey of becoming a more informed American or just, you know, person around the world, a more empowered human being. That's what we're about. And as we cover more news, as we cover more topics, as we have more guests and more information, the show is only going to get better and better. So you're getting it on the ground floor. And while we're doing this, it can only go up from here.
Can only go up. And I'm just finding myself progress through different changes in terms of my psychology. You know, at first, before
it's hard.
Into all of this, you think you know something, you have a clear position. And then as you start going through the history, you start digging through facts, you realize like a lot of the things that we take for granted or think that, okay, we have an absolute knowledge base on, I challenge myself every single time. And I encourage every single person to do that too.
Sure. I mean, that's why we seek out a lot of different sources of information. Ultimately, we've all been lied to about goings on in the world for a very long time. So we kind of sit in that knowledge and we try to find alternative sources. We try to get kind of like a second or third or fourth opinion like you would from a doctor to try to figure out the true root causes of these problems.
Yes. And one of the biggest problems that we're dealing with that every single day something new is coming out with. Iran war. I mean, you can't talk, you can't go.
It's basically,
we should
just call the show the Iran war show, basically. And I'm sorry, but that this is the news. It's what we're going to cover.
It is the news. It's the main thing. That's everything that everybody's talking about. And we have to talk about it. There's a new update every single day. And that's what we're going to try to do for you guys this morning while you're on your commute.
I am the president of peace. I am the peace president. Don't you love me, Mr. Donald Trump?
But seriously, so. Here's the thing. We see these offers from Trump. We see the overtures. We hear that the Turkish people and that the people of Pakistan, the governments there, the foreign ministers there, have been trying to set up meetings in Islamabad and places like that. And every time I see an offer from Trump, it's just like when he declares victory. I just don't believe it. You know, I think this is all just cover for the Marines sailing there right now.
Yeah, and I'm a little confused now because I'm seeing the U.S. has their own set of demands and then the Iranians have their own set of demands. And there's a lot of confliction in terms of the narratives there.
Sure.
I also don't fully believe what Iran says when they put stuff out there. They've been caught lying numerous times. So there's only but so much you can believe from both sides because they both have a duty to push out some propaganda to make it seem like either side is winning. But yeah, let's go over these demands.
Well, really quick, where do you think the U.S. stands right now? Where do you think Iran stands right now? As in, like, who do you think is more urgent to find a off-ramp to this problem?
Unfortunately, I would say we are, because they've done a pretty good job at the Strait.
Sure.
I mean, the markets, what is oil at? Like 110? Is that?
It's something like that.
Somewhere around.
It's fluctuating because of Trump. He keeps making the statements and whatnot.
It is fluctuating, but we're getting to an inflection point to where it's not sustainable. And I think the wider markets, I think everybody in Europe is talking about this. You've got people around the world. And we understand we can't do this much longer. So I'm thinking.
We can do it forever. Wars can be fought forever.
That, I mean, and this is why the lines from the peace president are just so important to go over, because Timmy, you make this reasonable argument, resources, logistics, we can't, economy, blah, blah, blah. The president says we can do it forever. And even if he only believes that like 30%, that delusional belief that'll get us in this conflict for a couple more months, that'll kill the country.
It will. And he's got a set of demands here that we can read through.
Sure.
So let's start with the U.S. demands.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So U.S. demands. Number one, removal of all sanctions on Iran. U.S. assistance in advancing and developing a civilian nuclear project. Removal of the threat of sanctions being reimposed. I mean, just right there. The sanctions are our main economic warfare. That's the thing that's really hurt and killed the most Iranians over time. Not even these military strikes. It's been the decades-long sanctions on this country. So this already is a huge concession from Trump.
That is a huge concession. And if you think about it, if you talk to the average Iranian, when they want to leave Iran, they're not on the regular SWIFT financial system. They're not going out with a Visa or a MasterCard. What they have to do is they have to get a bunch of cash and be able to, when they,
it's all internal.
Yeah, it's all internal because they've been cut off for so long. So I think this is a win for Iran here with the removal of the sanctions. Honestly, I want to just see cooperations between both sides. And if the sanctions,
let's be clear right now. That's what we've always said. Okay. Cause people will say, you're pro Iranian regime. You don't know what you're talking about, boy. I'm not pro Iranian regime. I'm not pro American regime either. I want both countries to be okay. At the end of the day, we don't wish harm on anybody.
No, don't wish harm on anybody.
Going. Sorry, my bad. I just got distracted by the sanctions because that is key. That's key. A huge point. So number four, Iran's nuclear program is frozen under a defined framework. Who defines that exactly? Five, enriched uranium to remain, but under supervision and agreed limits. Now, you remember last year when they were having these talks right before the 12-day war, or maybe a little bit after it as well, Witkoff went over there and initially he was like, yeah, well, they're willing to come down to like 3.5% enrichment or whatever. And then immediately after that, he got a call and then he's like, no enrichment whatsoever. So they have a civilian nuclear reactor. They use it for medical purposes, power purposes. They've always wanted to expand that. There's a conflation, Tim, I feel in a lot of people's mind when they think about Iran, like Israel attacked Iran's nuclear facilities. Again, they weren't attacking the military infrastructure. They're trying to strike that place in the capital.
Now, what do you think? Because you and I might not agree on whether they should have nuclear capacity. What's your thoughts on that?
Nation has a right to civilian nuclear power. I don't want them to have nuclear weapons. Absolutely not. I disagree with that, but they already banned them 20 years ago, you know? So I think it's something where we go around and we tell nations what they can and can't do, and we exercise that authority because we say, oh, we're going to be the victim of a heinous attack if we don't run you and you don't let us take you over.
But so I agree with the act that you should have some sort of nuclear power, but when you have nuclear power, you are also not too far removed from having nuclear weapons. The thing is the transportation method. That's the thing that needs to be prevented for it to not.
We'll talk about that a little bit. That's a good point.
Because the enrichment programs, those are important. I mean, nuclear power is one of those things that we look at, and it does have a net positive for a country. But when you know the science behind how to do the enrichment, you can turn some of these technologies into nuclear weapons for destructive purposes. So that is what the United States is afraid of. Now, there are other methods other than nuclear. Like, Iran doesn't even have enough resources to really build out a nuclear facility in terms of, like, for civilian use.
Not anymore, they don't.
I agree.
Well, I'm just saying, like, think about how much a nuclear facility actually costs to build. You're talking decades. So, like, that should be the last thing on their mind. What they should be focused on is in improving their immediate internal conditions specifically. Like, there's a bunch of other things they can do with their power sources that they can allocate resources to, because they shouldn't be going to nuclear first. That's like, That's like something I see like further down the line as they have proven that, hey, like we're actually want to cooperate with the United States.
And that is a weird thing, right? Because like the old Ayatollah, the guy that we killed, surprise, surprise, he had a ban, a fatwa, a religious order. It's considered a crime against God to make a nuclear weapon, right? But they also, I've seen this in Iranian media numerous times, they're incredibly proud of their civilian nuclear infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I think it's got more to do with kind of like the like engineer and scientist culture over there. Because keep in mind, like a lot of the time, like when you talk to people about Iran, to be like, "Well, that no place they live in caves over there in the Middle East." It's like, no, it's actually a 4,000-year-old culture. Super smart people, very intelligent. They have a large brain base to build systems like that and weapons too. It's why they have the missiles.
No, a lot of countries have a big base in terms of intelligence.
Sure,
and you can rely on that. Every country is going to have smart people. So let's go back to this here.
But even, they're known for it.
Yeah,
they're known for being highly intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
Okay, so where were we at?
We're in a missile program.
Okay.
Missile program to be addressed at a later stage with limits on quantity and range. So I don't know about that one, Pimp.
I agree with this one.
I don't know about that one, Pimp. I mean, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Because like that's their national sovereignty. Like that, when Trump says we blew up their military, that is true in every aspect but the missile systems. So like that right there, like if this is a true peace framework and that's a deal they can get with security guarantee and like China or Russia could be involved, I agree with you. Totally reasonable.
I mean, here's the thing. I got no problem if you want to defend yourself. But when you start talking about missile capability beyond, let's say, even the 2,000 to 3,000, or what's the point after that? It's that would be an offensive type of move.
And that's a point that I've heard other people make, specifically like pointing to the space program that they have or whatever and saying they can't build ICBM. I agree with that.
And just like fundamentally, like I know sometimes I bash on Trump and I bash on some of the West, but like I really think about this on a day-to-day basis. They have had protests and a whole big conglomerate people in their parliament screaming like death to America, death to America. And it's just like, we can't take those things lightly. Regardless of how we got here to the point where, you know, they're making these threats against us, we can't even allow an inch for that to be a possibility that they could strike us here on our own soil. Like I'm sorry, like that. I don't want that to happen.
I get where they come from with that whole thing, but it's about the worst political move you could ever make because it gives that argument, right? And like, of course, like we don't want a country that says death to America to have nuclear weapons, right?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me. But at the same time, I'm not making the Mark Levin argument of saying they had them because they didn't. Okay. We may push them to make one now, which would be quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all just it's a zeitgeist of events.
Okay, so now we've got number 7, use of nuclear programs restricted to civilian and defense purposes only.
That's totally good.
Number 8, we've got development of existing nuclear capabilities halted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you think about that one?
Well, I mean, I assume that means enriching uranium, or yeah, it at least implies the enrichment of uranium. So they have, and this is another thing, okay, because I'm not here to be Iranian media state propaganda. We're going to give you the full facts here. This is another thing. If they did actually brag about the 410 kilos or whatever it is of enriched uranium that they had, and they told them to the people in negotiations, if that isn't made up by Steve Witkoff, that's about as dumb as you can be.
Mm.
That's about as retarded as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So like we look at stuff like that, and it's like, well, do you need to enrich uranium 69%? No.
No, you don't. You don't. And that's why I was saying, and I agree with this next one, which is number 9, no further expansion of enrichment capabilities. Yeah, there's no reason to do that.
That's fine.
No productions of weapon-grade nuclear material on Iranian soil. Agree with
that. A lot of these are kind of indemnifying, like it's the same thing.
Number 11, all enriched material to be handed over to the IAEA within an agreed timeline. Number 12,
point number 11 is referring to the 410 kilos or whatever it is, I believe. Natanz, Isfahan, and Fordo to be taken out of use and destroyed. So those places with the centrifuge, and that's what Trump hit, in the 12-day war with the B-2 bombers. We dropped big, beautiful bombs. I'm sorry. If you're listening to me in your radio, hello today. Have a good day with me. Oh man. Okay. 13, international monitoring and verification mechanisms enforced, means IAEA probably again, gradual implementation tied to compliance. additional regional and security understandings between the parties. This, here's the thing.
Yep.
This is reasonable. You just have to have another great power involved. It can't just be, oh, U.S. says, like, we're gonna.
But who is that? You're talking about Europe would need to step
Russia
too.
Or China. Russia or China are gonna have to be a part of any, further solution. I mean, that's plainly obvious. This is a proxy war, just like it's a proxy war for us in Ukraine and Russia. The Russians and the Chinese are backing the Iranians, giving them intel, giving them satellite data, giving them GPS things to use and tracking coordinates. So at the end of the day, when we look at all of this, this is already is a world war, and if it needs to end, then the other parties that are involved, they have to come to the table.
No, you're right. It is sort of a proxy war. You've got Israel and Iran being controlled by the United States, and then you've got Russia and China in the background as well. Even though they're not committing, even though Russia and China are not directly committing as much support as the United States, they're still in the background loading.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's just, are they helping to kill Americans? And by giving the tracking data, by giving the satellite data, as the Chinese have done openly, you're helping to kill Americans. When they send the drone in, if it uses the Chinese satellite, you help to kill Americans. Just like Americans, we help to kill Russians over there by giving them Starlink.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like, that is warfare.
That is warfare. And then you think about it is, You said the first part, right? Like, I think these are reasonable demands, but we do need to figure out how do we cooperate with China and Russia. But I don't think they want to cooperate the same way that the United States wants to play ball. So
they want a fair agreement. So I agree. I agree. And the U.S. is like, well, here's the thing. You can have kind of a big piece of cake. I'm going to have the rest of the cake. Okay. And it would be nice if I got only a little bit more than you or a little bit less than you or whatever. I'm just going to take it all.
But I'll play devil's advocate here. If China had the same capacity to exert its power, I think it would. I really think it would. I mean, the power, what is it? Absolute power.
Corrupts absolutely. Absolute.
Like, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I think also Russia, if they had the opportunity, they would do this. China would also do the same thing. So it's like, I can't fully blame the United States for taking a strong position, because when the United States is behind the right side of history, we do affect positive change throughout the world. It just depends on
Tim loves America.
I love America.
Tim does love
America. I'm very nationalistic. I've seen all the technology that we have created. There has been military technology that has actually changed the world. And we forget about those things. So it's not always doom and gloom.
America
does have an important role with the rest of the world.
We have the people that dream the biggest. We have the car, the assembly line, the plane, the internet, the computer. All these things come from this place because this is the place where people think larger than life.
Yes. Now I want to get to the Iran side of demands because I think these are absolutely insane.
All right. You want me to read it?
Yeah, let's go ahead and read that.
All right, I agree with point number one. I haven't read the rest of them right now. A formal end to the war. Everybody wants it. No one's getting it. That's like the unicorn. We can't seem to find that. Number two, guarantees against future U.S. or Israeli military attacks. Okay. Number three, reparations. Dude, compensation for wartime damage and losses, control or leverage over the Strait of Hormuz.
That one is insane.
Well, they want attacks.
Number four is never happening.
They want attacks.
No, I don't support that.
So do you?
I don't support.
Do you think nations like Russia or China will want to put an end to that as well?
What?
Because they're also going to get taxed.
You're saying that they wouldn't want Iran to also have that control?
Yeah. Do you think they don't want them to have that?
Depends on how closely they're aligned. Because if Iran is like, you know, in China's back pocket, it might be to their benefit, and you know, they have some plausible deniability and they've got some deals going on there. But there's no way that we can allow that to happen because it gives them a leverage point in the future.
No limits on the missiles. Missiles to the moon. That's point number five. Number six, recognition of Iran's right to enrich uranium for peaceful purposes. I agree.
I think
if it's civilian enrichment.
I think they're agreing to that.
Yeah.
Trump seems to be on
it. Just got to be really low level, used for medical purposes.
Yeah.
Lifting of U.S. sanctions in real usable way. No public acceptance of direct talks on U.S. terms right now. So it's really point number four and point number five that are just like, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I don't even think it should happen. I mean, just no limits on Iranian ballistic missiles. Like I said, what value does it serve? I get if you want to defend your own soil, but if you need to have a missile go 4,000 miles away, that's only for attack.
Well, I think that the U.S. wants them to get rid of all missiles that could even hit Israel. So they want to keep that capacity, but I totally agree. And there is speculation that it may have been a false flag attack. The missiles that got shot at Diego Garcia, because they claimed not to have done that. They could also lie. So well, we don't know.
I've actually seen reports and a breakdown saying that Iran has actually done, and not just specific to this situation, but they also have situations where they say, well, we haven't done that. And the reason why is they want to mitigate the backlash to a specific event. So if they did something that, you know, angered the West, sometimes they were actually behind that action. But in order to soften the blow, they have to deny it at first, and then it can come out later after people have forgotten about the situation. So there is some real merit to that situation being real, despite what everybody's talking about.
So this is all with the backdrop of the Marines, right? The Marines, the 82nd Airborne, the troops are coming. Ah, we have the peace paper now. We have the peace paper. It's all over. It's all done. Really, whenever Trump does something like this, it's, you know, total war is about to begin. So, like, we're not relishing that. We really regret it. We wish we didn't have to cover these types of stories right now, but it's not likely for either side, after what we've just analyzed and what we've been following and monitoring the situation quite intensely and quite thoroughly. They're at an impasse. They're worlds apart.
Yes.
So
worlds apart.
Where's a compromise come from this? What do you think?
Compromise. I mean, it doesn't come without the Gulf states being involved. They want something out of this. I think sanctions is the first place to start. After, I think the nuclear, that needs to be sorted out. There has to be some checks and balances, some oversight. I know they have an organization that is supposed to monitor that, but, you know, when you got your stuff like thousands of miles underground or hundreds of miles underground, it's like, you need some real oversight into those things if you want to have true nuclear power. So I think those are the two things that we start with. Ballistic missile program, I think that's later down the line. I don't support Iran having, you know, these massive long-range missiles. But again, I digress on that point.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. It's just, I sadly think it's going to be a regional conflict, a regional war. I mean, look at this footage right here. Let's throw that back up there. They got these giant underground tunnel missile silos, drone silos. These are things that would take like a bunker buster to get, bare minimum. They've been planning this for decades. This is, they're lined up to die. Basically, and that's what it takes, because it's one thing if we were fighting like France or something, right? We're like, we're slaughtering the enemy and they want to give up. They want to surrender. Well, this is not them, because these people all want to be martyrs. Okay.
Yeah. And the terrain is another big issue. You've got mountainous terrain. You've got they've in the prep that you're talking about, they've been preparing for a long time. Everyone knows ground invasion's not going to happen. We might take Karg Island.
I don't know. I think Karg Island's a fake out. I think they're going to do another special forces thing, because Trump loves the special forces so much.
Where do you see that going?
Man, I don't know. They try to hit their nuclear infrastructure again. I think that's the thing that's being talked about. I listened to Larry Johnson talk about a war game they ran, I believe in the 80s or 90s, about kind of a similar or same operation that did not go well. I think they're going to try to plan to do something like that again.
So are these peace plans and negotiations, are they just fake, or do you think we're actually having conversations to try to make things work? Because you can't, it's like, remember, Ukrainians and the Russians were arguing, right, at some point, and they were trying to have peace deals, and then Ukraine goes and takes out like a bunch of assets. Like, it doesn't work if we're not like calming things down and then negotiating.
This is real, Tim, in the way that Santa Claus is real. It gives you warm and fuzzy feelings. You're a kid, you think about him coming down the chimney, but what's actually coming up is your parents sneaking downstairs and giving you, you know, a stuffed animal. So, like, we're going to get the stuffed animal, the situation. We're going to get this war, whether we want it or not. This is nice to believe in. I'd like to believe in it. Me and Tim would love to believe in it.
We would love to believe in it.
But I don't think it's likely. Sources say no. That's what I got to say. We'll be right back. American Journal, Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins, coming at you live.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our ultra methylene blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Air campaign that we've conducted, that Israel's conducted alongside us, was one for the history books, truly. And it's because we have a president of the United States that when he sends his war fighters out to fight, he unties their hands to actually go out and close with and destroy the enemy as viciously as possible from moment one. And that's why we see ourselves as part of this negotiation as well. We negotiate with bombs. You have a choice as we loiter over the top of Tehran, as the president talked about your future. President has made it clear that you will not have a nuclear weapon. The War Department agrees. Our job is to ensure that. And so we're keeping our hand on that throttle as long as it's hard as is necessary to ensure the interests of the United States of America are achieved on that battlefield. This is.
Yeah, you know, we're going to make a deal with you. You know, we're just the military. We're bombing you. We're killing your kids. But we're a part of the negotiation. You know, we negotiate with bombs. We negotiate by killing you. And, like, here's the thing. That's honesty about U.S. foreign policy.
At least he's not hiding it.
That is refreshing because, you know, Biden would kind of do the tap dance and act like he wasn't killing anybody. He was killing a ton of people, right? Yeah. And at least they're open about it, okay, so we know what to charge them with later.
Yeah. I mean, look. Even outside of this administration, this has been America's playbook for the last 20 years. Each administration
longer.
You're right, longer.
Yeah, go ahead.
It is that peace through strength, is it not? So yeah. At the end of the day, you come out with that big hammer, nobody's going to mess with you. But again, I'm trying to figure out, like, what is the long-term gain here in terms of, like, okay, how much longer can the United States exert power using just force?
Sure,
because at some point it doesn't work for the modern age.
Well, and that's the thing, actually. You know, us using force is really a sign of the decline of the empire, right? Because it shows how far our soft power has declined.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not enough anymore. We have to go over there and crush you. We're not able to do it by getting other countries to do it. We have to go do it.
Well,
you kind of see the embarrassingness of like the begging for the allies, please help us. Please help us defeat evil Iran. And then Europe is like, we don't want to do it.
Well, the reason why they don't want to do it is because we've basically made them. How do I describe this?
You must be very careful, young man.
I have to be careful.
Yeah, you're going to offend someone over there. Shout out to you if you're listening. We love you. We know it's late over there. Shout out to you.
Nah, I mean, we've basically been the abusive husband to the.
Yes, a battered wife. Yeah. That's what I said on Twitter.
That's pretty much what we've been doing. We've allowed Europe to kind of become, you know, our little, you know, bee. And we're just smacking her.
The gimp from Pulp Fiction. Basically.
Like, you like this.
Yeah, exactly.
You like this.
Exactly.
And it's like, you can't expect a country to come in and help you after you've done a lot in order to put them in a bad situation to begin with. So it's like, we blew up the pipeline. They have energy crises. We're looking at all these scenarios. And, you know, do you remember that meme or that video where, you know, President Macron couldn't even get through the motorcade because Trump blocked it off and he made him walk.
Yeah, he made him walk down the street.
Like, if it's me, I'm not forgetting that, right? Like, I'm keeping that in the back of my mind. And then just think about every time we were at the UN were like, you know, Trump is like, Europe, you have nothing.
You're scum, basically. Yeah, you're trash.
You need me. And, I'm the smartest in the room. And so, like, the Europeans remember that. You don't forget that.
And let's not even forget, even to add on to that, to make your point even more powerful, Tim, the NATO spending. You're going to have to spend a lot more. And all these countries had to reform their budgets and do X, Y, Z because Trump wanted to make them pay their fair share.
But, I think that was a win for Trump.
No, absolutely. But it makes them angry,
but they should have been paying their fair share from the beginning.
Absolutely.
No way the United States should have been putting all of that money to be their bodyguards when it was them that needed the protection. We were just there.
That's a good point.
Right? Like, yeah. At the end of the day, they're not going to be launching missiles at our end. You know, they have no bases on our Western hemisphere. So it's the Europeans that need it the most. So, you know, when I look at this situation, right, how much do you think this goes on before Europe actually gets involved?
Well, so there are capacities that they have that we don't have relating to minesweeping. I've seen several ex-military, ex-Navy people talk about this at this point. We outsource a lot of that responsibility to them. That's primarily what we want. I mean, as far as them getting involved and say, like, you remember when Trump was saying initially that we would be escorting ships through the Strait of Hormuz,
mm-hmm.
which of course is completely insane, at least at this current point where the missiles and drones are still a big problem. What they want is they want more people to get drawn into the conflict.
Yep.
Right? So they're trying to convince Keir Starmer right now. They're going, Keir, listen, I really like you. I need you to lose one ship for me, one big, beautiful ship. We need a Pearl Harbor.
And then didn't we watch a video the other day where BB's sitting there talking about missiles are heading to Europe? Or he's like, you guys need to protect yourselves. And
sure.
Netanyahu's trying to bring in the Europeans. And I'm like, the Europeans barely like you. You know, you're also in the same boat. Like, right now, the tail is wagging the dog just a little bit. And, you know, we know that Israel has brought us into this conflict specifically because they,
Rubio admits it on video. People will accuse us of being bigoted for saying that. Secretary of State literally states that we get drawn into the conflict because they launched the initial strike. We don't want Americans to get killed in the retaliation. And what that tells you is we came in with the mission of ending it on day one.
We did.
Because the rationale for that whole attack was we're going to make it so overwhelming. We're going to kill the Ayatollah. It's not going to be a problem for Americans in the region anymore. Yeah, and look how that turned out.
We overestimated. And they thought that taking out the supreme leader and taking out all the military leadership would do to the job. But at the end of the day, we're still going to be in this conflict and it's going to keep playing out. Even though these peace deals are going out and I hope something happens with this. I don't know, Pete. I don't know if.
Let's look at what happens really quick and then let's get to your rundown Syria. Here. Look at Syria before and after because, like, here's the thing. We bring democracy. We bring freedom. We're liberators. We're going to be greeted as liberators everywhere we go. We have to remember this. Let's get the image of her in the beekeeper suit up. Because this is very important because you got to keep in mind Assad, evil dictator, blah, blah, blah. The real reason why we got him, why we got Saddam, why we got Gaddafi is you can't allow a secular state to exist in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
You can't allow for it to happen. So we'd much rather have someone that's literally chopped off people's heads before.
Oh, and we invite him to the White House and we invite him to New York City and he's taking a picture at New York City. That was the worst sight ever as an American for me to watch that.
Oh, knowing the 9/11,
guy,
brother.
Knowing the guy used to be in Al Qaeda.
Yep.
And taking a picture in New York City. If you go back to the early 2000s, that was unthinkable, unfathomable.
Sure.
And so somehow we've just gotten amnesia. Now let's look at this picture here. 26 before and after pics reveal what the war has done to Syria.
Nice, look at that. Look, these places are so old. Like America, everything's new here. This is the oldest of the old world. This is like the foundation of like religious culture for billions of people, literally, like this entire area of the Middle East. And
super nice.
Yeah, it just gets turned into rubble because, you know, it's a lot easier to destroy something than it is to create it.
It is.
Wow.
And at the same time, so the conflicts that are going on here, do you think it stops or even with him in power? I think there's just these other groups will start building up and try to revolt because that area has not stopped.
Well, he's in a very unstable position. He presides over like 300 unique terror cells. A lot of them are from various places around the world. There are people, he has like a team of interpreters and stuff that help him work with his people who are the interpreters, probably CIA, of course. So like he's a complete government entity.
Well, okay, well, you just think about the United States. We're not the best at picking the right team, if you think about it. A lot of the time
Trump.
I'm not even just saying about Trump. I'm just talking about when we decide, okay, this guy is going to be in charge when we do regime change.
Sure.
And it ends up being that we have a bad track record with that. I mean, they end up becoming the enemy at some point, very often.
The enemy when we go in. It's the enemy when a new person takes over. It's the enemy when the new person is defeated. We have to fill the power vacuum and then, insurgency. Why must we do this? Why can't we have 50 cent, food prices?
Yeah, those pictures are very disturbing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And as an American, I can't even think of these situations happening. Our land will always be preserved because of the force that we use and the power that we exert throughout the world. I mean, at the end of the day, look at these photos. This could never happen in the United States. And this is why I'm covering the whole situation with Cuba, during the deep dive during the second hour is because we haven't forgotten about the Cold War when it comes to exerting our power, making sure nobody comes in our backyard. And this is the bigger play with Cuba here. I think that we are trying to make sure that China and Russia never have a seat in our backyard.
Yeah. Let's get into the Cuba story here, but really quick, I want to cover this before we get into this. So I presented this to you. It wasn't a part of the rundown or the deep dive. The Russian oil tanker playing chicken with Trump over Cuba. Listen to this, Tim. Russia appears to be testing U.S. commitment in the Western Hemisphere as Washington already battles the Kremlin's influence on other fronts. While Russia's attempt to provide oil to Cuba may be half-hearted, Russia watchers say it sends a signal that it is not. The Anatoly Kladkin is steaming towards the Caribbean. The Russian oil tanker's official destination according to one of his public broadcasts, is Atlantis, USA. More probably, it's the Cuban port of the Mazanas, ferrying an estimated 730,000 barrels of crude oil across the Atlantic. The tanker is flying a Russian flag. A Russian warship escorted it through the English Channel, where it was tracked by the Royal Navy for 48 hours, only to turn back as soon as the tanker was clear. While the Kremlin declined to confirm reports of Russian oil headed to Cuba, it has also made little effort to conceal its hand. That's because the tanker was never really about Cuba at all. People close to the White House, former ambassadors and Russia observers, told Politico. It's a message, they said, a negotiating shit, a provocation designed to force a disproportionate American response while Washington is consumed everywhere.
Wow.
So,
you know what this
they're saying
reminds,
provocation.
You know what this reminds me of? JFK era. You know, when they had the Russians sailing towards and we were about to hit, you know, DEFCON 1 or DEFCON 2 and just press that nuke as soon as they crossed that,
it seems
blockade.
Like, it seems like there's multiple Cuban Missile Crises all around the world right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Eerily similar. And I want to get back to that story.
No, go ahead.
I really want to get into the money that people are making off of the oil itself and all of the bets, because we're seeing crime and corruption in real time here with things like the poly markets and the Kalshis and all these different things. Can we, let's start with this article here that says the $500 million bet on oil before Trump's, climb down, because this
hey,
is something
that's normal. Shut up. We're making money over here. We're insider trading.
Okay. So go ahead and let's start reading this one.
We're allowed to be criminals for the government. I'll go ahead and read it. $500 million bet on oil minutes before Trump climbed down. Some 6,200 oil futures contracts changed hands before the president announced energy strike ceasefire, raising concerns about insider knowledge. All right. $500 million, some 6,200 oil futures. A quarter of an hour later, the U.S. president announced very good and productive conversations regarding a complete and total resolution of our hostilities in the Middle East on Truth Social, which caused oil prices to tumble. So he declared victory again and said everything was going to be fine. The oil futures market allows investors to buy or sell oil at a set price on a future date, enabling them to guard against any unexpected leaps in prices in the months ahead. Banks and hedge funds also bet on moves in the price of oil to earn profits. So you lock it in.
And that was the thing that was confusing for me, is like, you know, we saw oil prices go up at the very beginning. And then suddenly it came down to like 80 something dollars a barrel. And I'm like, wait. I thought this was supposed to be going up. And then it shoots back up. And I'm like, I said this to my buddy. I'm like, oh, they made money. Somebody made money.
Pure manipulation of the market.
Pure manipulation. And let's get this video queued up. Let's get video two queued up here, because this video shows how they're using these, poly market and Kalshi. Like, it doesn't make any
sense.
It's outrageous.
It should be banned.
They're creating anonymous accounts. Like, the whole platform is anonymous and you have to trade in crypto in order to make bets. It doesn't make any sense. How should anyone be able to do that? You should be able to have a linked bank account where you can trail, you can check who exactly that payment is going to, because then at the end of the day, this is no different than like being on sports betting.
Yeah, you can't buy stocks anonymously. Think about that. think about that.
Oh, yes, you can, Rex.
I mean, through holding companies and stuff like that. Outright.
I'm saying no. They're doing this now. Like that's how they're buying. There's always a new scam. There's always something.
My mind's gonna be blown. This is why I love. This is just a preamble to the deep dive. But go ahead.
Yeah, let's go ahead and roll this video of the people making money off of this. Like, what is it? These poly market. Yeah, this is what it is. Let's go watch this clip, please.
Poly Market is basically a prediction platform. You can bet on real world events. You can bet on a sports match or a war or a ceasefire. And you can only bet using cryptocurrencies. Plus, the whole thing is anonymous. Your name is not disclosed. Now, look at this report. It focuses on 8 accounts. These accounts were created around the 21st of March. They bet some $70,000 in total. And what was their prediction? That a ceasefire deal will be reached by the 31st of March. If that happens, these accounts stand to make $820,000. They put $70,000, they will make $820,000. That is the bet. Now, there are 2 red flags here. One, look at the timing. All these accounts were created last week. And what was happening last week? Trump was escalating the war with Iran last week. Amid this escalation, why would anyone bet on a quick ceasefire? unless they had some insider information. That's the first red flag. Secondly, one other account has raised some eyebrows. Before the 28th of February, this account placed a bet. It bet on the U.S. attacking Iran. It said the attack would happen, and sure enough, the attack happened. Trump attacked Iran. Now, that same account has also bet on a ceasefire, and on cue, Trump called for talks. If you put all this together, one question emerges. Is this insider trading? Are these people privy to Trump's thinking? Several experts say yes.
Don't piss on my face.
Whoa!
Tell me it's raining. I'm sorry. This stuff pisses me off.
Okay, all right.
They're doing it in plain sight. They do not care about anybody back at home. I'm seeing, as I started looking into these things, there are like hedge funds and there are people creating like 8 accounts all of a sudden and making a trade like a few days before, making a bet, making a ton of money, getting out of the market. Quick in, quick out. How do we have a system? Polymarket is something new. This only came in like a couple years ago. And do you know who was behind this? They realized, oh, well, technically this isn't, betting. You know, you're doing futures trading. You're doing something where you're making a future prediction. And somehow somebody had the bright idea. Well, let's make this anonymous. Let's make this anonymous. Oh, and even better, let's make it crypto. And the thing about crypto, guys, there's things called crypto wallets. I'm sure all of you guys know what these are. A crypto wallet basically is almost anonymous in itself too. You do not know who the owner of a specific wallet. All you can do is see is the transactions. And you can't really do a whole lot with transactions.
Right.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting because we had all of these like antitrust. We have all of these things coming out.
We have laws on the books
that say, well, you have to have Congress transparency. And now we're just creating new methods in order to hide the money and who's making money. It disgusts me.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the crisis in 2008. It reminds me of like a CDO. Like you look at this, like, you can roll up all the debt of the subprime and rate it as prime and have that all be good. That doesn't seem like that would work out long term. They're just like, hey, it's our system. Don't mess with it. Don't rock the boat. It's all going to be fine. Boom. What happens? Everything crashes. You look at something like this. We've gone down the line on our show numerous times. People just betting like 10 for 10 perfect war predictions. You know, a minute before something will spike, 50% chance.
Well, and the fact that these people know, it's because you've got a marrying of lawmakers, people in position of power, and you've got billionaires and the very ultra wealthy all married together in this one system. So think about it this way. The people who made Polymarket, I forget the man who's behind this, but I saw a big group of billionaires back this up.
Sure.
People were like, this is the best thing since sliced bread. And they all came together and people realized, well, we can do something about this. We can get away with this because no one can get angry at us because you don't know who we are.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's in plain sight for the American people to see.
Absolutely.
It is in plain sight. And this is not what I voted for. I didn't vote for, you know,
Trump crypto coin.
You were just in my head.
You don't like that?
I didn't vote for Trump to have his own meme coin where he's making billions of dollars
right
before the market goes up. I didn't vote for new ways of degeneracy because
new scams.
New scams.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this is. They're all new scams and no scam is really new. So they're all old scams and it's the same thing over and over and over again. It's just the degree of brazenness where these schemes are executed now. It's like, it's unlike anything we've ever seen before.
You know what my biggest problem is?
Shoot.
We call ourselves a Christian country.
Right. Right.
We take Bibles. We do this.
Yeah,
we put our hand on the Bible. We say an oath. These oaths mean absolutely nothing
That's
anymore.
Right.
They mean absolutely nothing.
That's right.
You can basically take the Lord's name in vain. You can go out there and say,
they're metaphysically, they're peeing on the Bible instead of swearing on it when they do stuff like this.
And what you do is you soil the entire religion by doing these things.
Sure.
Do you think Jesus would be betting on Kalshi
no,
or Polymarket?
Absolutely not.
Do you think Jesus would be doing all the things of making crypto wallets and making a bunch of money and sinking markets?
No, and that's the thing. War, fraud, betting. All of it. All this stuff is deeply antithetical to being a Christian or following Christ or trying to be a little Christ. Whatever your Trinitarian definition of that is, even if it's a Protestant one, completely foreign and alien to it, these people don't care about God at all.
And you don't even have to be Christian. You just look at all the religions in itself. You can look at the Hinduism.
I love Jesus. I love Jesus.
All of the religions don't say, hey, like, let's go out and just start betting in the market and doing these things. There's a spiritual aspect that people miss when it comes to this.
You say all the religions, hold on a minute. There's some religions you're not thinking of that they worship the stock market. Mm. The Tao is the golden calf, the god of the country. I mean, Pam Bondi's investigating, or not investigating, or lying about investigating the biggest PDF file monster that's ever existed, really, Jeffrey Epstein. And when she's being asked questions about it, she goes, the Tao! You can do it.
No, you have Trump derangement syndrome.
That's right. I'm so sorry.
Trump derangement syndrome. It's all over. S&P 500 is at all-time highs, and we have Congress voting on Cauchy and playing the poly market, and that's what you should be paying attention to.
That's the religion right there, because that's the appeal to authority. She's appealing to her God, the stock market.
And then you just look at that video that we were playing at the beginning. Trump standing there like a proud father, and Pete is just signaling to the man behind him.
Sure.
I mean, this is what we have. We have a bunch of yes men. We have a bunch of people. And I'm seeing people online criticizing me yesterday for saying things about Joe Kent and praising him for getting out. I'm sorry. I'm not going to stand behind somebody. I'm going to stand behind something I believe in and sure. having morals.
Sure.
He got out because he saw that this wasn't system was being
He rejected
corrupt.
The broken system. That's what we support.
And then I saw a bunch of people attacking me like, how could you say that? Well, Mark Levin is actually right. Well, okay.
Oh!
And that's
real winners.
That's when I had to put the phone down because I'm like, how have we gotten to this point where we've lost the American values that have made us today?
Sure. Well, I mean, we sold them out for cheap credit. We sold them out for empire. And now we're at a point to where it's just a costume, a skin-suited thing that people want to put on. And really, if you're going to vote for those values, you got to demand those values once these people are elected. That's all we're doing here. At the end of the day, like, my dad always says the thing of like, we got to hold Trump's feet to the fire. Here's the thing, like, that's a good analogy because you don't want to have your feet held to the fire.
No, you don't.
That's not a pleasant experience. We're here to provide that.
And for me, it's all about being ideologically consistent.
Sure.
You guys see a 2028 Huge. Democrat come in, and we're going to be just as critical about the bad things that they're doing then, too.
We don't like any politicians.
We don't like any of that. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. And there's no way to look about that. And to justify these things just blows my mind.
Well, they must earn our respect, Tim. And here's the thing. As Americans, we kind of have this, like, servant mindset of, like, these are the people high on the hill that rule us and take care of us. And the bureaucracy, the middle management, oh, we got to worship it. We don't know how the country works. No, we're citizens. We have agency. We're given rights by God. Read what Thomas Paine wrote. Read what Jefferson Hamilton wrote. Read what these people said about the country. You are allowed to demand things as a citizen. You are basically a Roman citizen, okay? And we are supposed to have privileges. We're supposed to have rights. And those have been taken away from us.
They have been taken away from us.
It's tragic, man, but that's why we're here to chronicle it. We're bringing back the spirit of positivity to the people, of knowledge to the people, because we're not black-pilling here, we're white-pilling. You got to acknowledge the problem, the disease, before you have the solution.
And remember, yesterday when we covered in our deep dive, how much was education, how much was
like
housing
4%?
Development? Yeah, they were both 4%, and our national defense spending was 47%. That pie chart does not add up, guys.
Hey,
that pie chart does not add up. We need to be investing more in our people. We need to be investing
right.
more in education, because what's happening is these other countries, China has been investing in education.
Sure.
They're outcompeting us in technology now.
And that shouldn't be happening.
It should not be happening. America, like I said, when America is behind the right side of history and we push the change that we want to see as the people, we actually become a net positive for society. And that is what is important here.
Absolutely. And one more thing that me and Tim really agree on, we're both extremely patriotic individuals. We love this country. We love America. We just hate our government right now. We want our country to return to greatness. I want to remind you guys that if you subscribe to any product on the Alex Jones Store, you're going to get a free t-shirt with that order. Iodine's 30% off, 50% off when you're a VIP. We've got the powerful methylene blue. We've got Power Plant. We've got Methyl Drive. We've got a ton of great products. Check out Power Plant if you want to try the new version of Super Male Vitality. Super Male Vitality is back. It's called Power Plant now. You're going to check it out.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Days to flatten the curve, wear the mask, take the shot, you can't get COVID, you can't spread it, all horse crap. And they used COVID to derail Trump's last recovery, and now, as I predict, they're using war to do it.
If you spend too much time on Twitter or get your news from the liberal mainstream media, you may have gotten the impression that the president's supporters are abandoning him in droves over Operation Epic Fury, his war to prevent your grandchildren from having to face off against a nuclear-armed Iran. Our hapless president has been dragged into this war against his will by the nefarious Bibi Netanyahu, according to people like Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Megyn Kelly, and now Joe Kent. Alas, none of that is true. The narrative that MAGA is split over Iran, beloved by the liberal media and the anti-Israel far left and right, is complete fiction. Far from a betrayal, poll after poll after poll has found massive overwhelming support for the president's strikes on Iran among Republican voters, upwards of 85%.
Here's what I tell President Trump. Keep it up for a few more weeks. Take Karg Island, where all of the resources they have to produce oil, control that island. Let this regime down a bone. Mm-hmm. I trust DOD. We got two Marine Expeditionary Units sailing to this island. We did Iwo Jima. We can do this.
Welcome to Pickett. Thank y'all for coming. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Trump is against that entire globalist plan of austerity and against their carbon taxes. That's why I've supported him so much, because compared to the Democrats, it's night and day. He really is returning national sovereignty to America and making our own decisions. But my God, then don't make the wrong decisions now that we have a president back in charge. This is so paradoxical, and it's so love-hate for me. And I know I've been right, and I've been proven right again. It's our own government's assessments, for heaven's sakes.
And the last time I saw Charlie Kirk on this earth was in June in the West Wing, in the stairway. And I said hi to him, and he looked me in the eye, and he said very loudly, and it's a small, you've been in the West Wing, it's small, it's a tight space, and he said, Joe, stop us from getting into a war with Iran. Very loudly.
He was single-minded.
And he walked off, and he went, I believe, into the Oval. So when one of President Trump's closest advisors, who is vocally advocating for us to not go to war with Iran, and for us to rethink at least our relationship with the Israelis, and then he's suddenly publicly assassinated, and we're not allowed to ask any questions about that.
That's why the head of the Counterterrorism Center, Joe Kent, quit this week, trying to get Trump to pay attention and change course. Instead, they've been attacking him as a traitor and saying he's a leaker with no evidence.
I can say this. He said very strongly that Iran is not a threat. Iran's been a threat for 47 years, and there's not a country in the world that doesn't agree with me on that. So I take this guy, Joe Kent, who lost twice for Congress, pretty badly and tough, and was devastated. And I know that he lost his wife. So instead of letting him live out his life, I brilliantly have my people call him and offer him a job in security, essentially, in the White House. And what does he do? He goes out and he says that Iran is not a threat to get publicity. Now, he probably signed up with CNN.
Joe Kent, the former director of the United States National Counterterror Center. This is from Semaphore. He just resigned. He's now under FBI investigation for allegedly leaking classified information. And the investigation predates his departure.
These opening remarks with one other fake news, and that is that Israel somehow dragged the U.S. into a conflict with Iran. Does anyone really think that someone can tell President Trump what to do? Come on. President Trump always makes his decisions on what he thinks is good for America. And may I add, I think what is also good for future generations.
All the anti-Semites, to all the isolationists, I don't believe. Forget it. I'm not with you. I'm with Israel. I will be with Israel to our dying day.
It's the Israel lobby that has the main muscle to be pushing this. It's a foreign government. It's illegal as hell. Okay, it was China, the UK, the EU involved in our politics, and they are too. And it's wrong. We're standing up against that. We're standing against what Israel's doing. It's wrong, folks. It's unconstitutional. It's illegal. And it's treasonous.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria in the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. DallasTheStore.com to get T3, now available. And methylene blue at DallasTheStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with Tim Tompkins and Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Entering the second hour of The American Journal, the powerful morning broadcast, the morning broadcast of patriots, Americans, and champions in every field. Tim Tompkins about to deliver the deep dive.
Yeah, this has become a regular now. If you guys have been tuning in since the day one, this is what we do on the gray area. We do these things called the deep dive. If you're a new listener, I'm just going to break it down for you really quickly.
Lay it on them.
Deep dive is just something where we take a specific topic, something that's happening in the news, something that's happening in the headlines, and we go past the headline itself. We go a little bit deeper. We go through the history, go through the context. We need to understand why you need to know what everything happens with that situation. That way you have information to arm yourself, because that's information is everything.
Talking causality. Most people don't talk causality. We do that here on the show.
Yes, we do. So what we're going to be talking about today is Cuba. Everybody has seen what's been happening with Cuba, but it's kind of one of those things that has taken the passenger seat to the Israel-Iran conflict. But
sure.
It is something that is
They're trying
important.
To sneak it in.
Mm-hmm. So if you've seen the news, you probably think, okay, well, the blackouts are that you're seeing in Cuba right now, they're about old power, but that's not really the whole story. So we're seeing in March, Cuba's entire national grid has collapsed, not once, multiple times in a single month. But at one point, a third of the country's power generation went offline all at once. And the infrastructure is old, but that's not what's changed. So Cuba's grid has actually been fragile for years. What's changed is the fuel supply that has been running just got cut off. So Cuba burns about 3.5 million barrels of fuel per month, which is a lot. And the domestic production covers maybe 25 to 40% of that. Now, the rest came from outside when it came from Venezuela and Mexico specifically. Those were the two main suppliers.
We took one of those out, didn't we? The oil's not coming from there anymore.
The great Maduro escape, right?
And that was one of our reasons, one of the many reasons we did the Venezuela operation, is it hurt so many of our various, enemies or non-allied countries around the world.
Mm-hmm. That was the bigger play there. And, you know, now their outside supply is gone. So the grid is not collapsing because it's just older, which is one of the main causes, but it is because of the oil. Can we go ahead and play, video three there about the Cuba news reporting? We can kind of see on the ground what it looks like, because I was shocked when I watched
it. It's a different world over there. It really is.
Let's go ahead and roll the clip.
I'm in Old Havana. You can see people are strolling around. It's a Saturday night here. They're spending the evening here with their friends as though nothing has happened. But we're actually in the middle of yet another nationwide blackout. It's completely dark out here, except for a couple of lights from hotels that have generators. This is the second time in less than a week that the power has gone out all over the country. The government says that it's trying to get it back on again. Nobody knows how long that will take. So that means most of these people will spend the night in the darkness. Thank goodness it's not in the middle of summer yet. It's not so hot. So they might be able to sleep in their apartments. But people are fed up with this. It means that they can't get water. The water pipes don't work. It means that their food begins to rot in their refrigerators. It's happening more and more. And one of the reasons, of course, is not just because the power system in this country, which runs on oil, is decrepit, it's old, it needs repairs, but also because President Donald Trump has imposed a total fuel blockade around Cuba, hoping that it will collapse, bringing it at least to the brink of collapse. But
So,
to the brink. I mean, when a third of the power grid goes off, I mean, the babies in the NICU, they die. You know, so like we talked about it here.
They're redirecting the energy to essential things. Like Havana is one of the first places that gets turned on first because it's the capital. But the hospitals, all of those different things, they do have backup power, like generators and those types of things. And they're prioritizing the oil for these essential aspects.
So we put these people in like a Walking Dead survival scenario.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mexico is trying to help, or they were trying to help. Let me clarify this. Everyone knows that the U.S. has had sanctions on Cuba for decades, but here's the part that most people miss. The pressure now extends to these third countries. So In 2024, Mexico was shipping Cuba about 20,000 barrels of crude oil a day per their affiliates. And then Venezuela was the other major source. And we already saw what happened to Venezuela, right? So let's go ahead and play video four that's showing Mexico and what happened to them as they were trying to provide oil after Venezuela got taken out of the equation, because Mexico did try to step in here.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and roll that.
It turned out to be the beginning of an even more expensive campaign to sever every dollar, every barrel, and every escape route that the regime has left. On the energy front specifically, something that had largely gone unnoticed was that Mexico had overtaken Venezuela as Cuba's largest oil supplier last year. And in the immediate fallout of the operation, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum initially committed to honoring those contracts, not increasing them, but delivering what they had already signed up for, framing the issue as both a sovereign and humanitarian matter. And to her credit, one tanker did arrive in Havana in January. It was still a fraction of what the islands actually needed, though, and even this would not last. On January the 29th, the Trump administration issued Executive Order 14,380, declaring a national emergency, enabling the president to impose tariffs that targeted any country that directly or indirectly sells or provides oil to Cuba. The critical detail is the scope of that treaty. The order authorized additional duties on all imports from offending countries, not just energy products, meaning that for Mexico, continued shipments to Havana risked triggering penalties across the entire USMCA trade relationship almost immediately. Sheinbaum acknowledged shortly thereafter that deliveries were currently halted. She described it as a sovereign decision amid fluctuations, but the timing left little mystery about what really was behind the move.
Okay, so here's the mechanism that we need to pay attention to that came out of that video.
Well, that's fun.
It's that executive order, 14380, that created this tariff threat. So basically, any country that ships oil to Cuba directly or indirectly can face those duties like the video was talking about.
Right, right.
And that makes supplying Cuba and the market excess a question, right? So the U.S. doesn't need to intercept ships anymore. They basically can have this executive order. And I want us to just read a little bit about this executive order here.
You want me to read that middle paragraph?
Yeah, let's read that middle paragraph Because this is what the president has said. Go from like that section one as the president of the United States.
You got it. You got it. Okay. This is key. This is a decree from the emperor. We live in the Roman Empire. This is a decree from Emperor Trump. As president of the United States, I have an imperative duty to protect the national security and foreign policy of this country. I find that the policies, practices, and actions of the government of Cuba constitute an unusual and extraordinary threat, which has its source in whole or in substantial part outside the United States to the national security and foreign policy of the USA. The government of Cuba has taken extraordinary actions that harm or threaten the U.S. The regime aligns itself with and provides support for numerous hostile countries, transnational terrorist groups, and malign actors adverse to the United States, including the government of the Russian Federation, the People's Republic of China, the government of Iran, Hamas, and Hezbollah. For example, Cuba blatantly hosts dangerous adversaries of the United States, inviting them to base sophisticated military and intelligence capabilities in Cuba that directly threaten the national security of the United States. Cuba hosts Russia's largest overseas signals intelligence facility, which tries to steal sensitive national security information from the U.S. Cuba continues to build deep intelligence and defense coordination with the PRC. Cuba welcomes transnational terrorist groups such as Hezbollah and Hamas, creating a safe environment for those malign groups so that transnational terrorist groups can build economic, cultural, and security ties throughout the region and attempt to destabilize the Western Hemisphere, including the United States. Cuba has long provided defense, intelligence, and security assistance to adversaries in the Western Hemisphere attempting to thwart United States and international sanctions designed to enforce the stability of the region, uphold the rule of law, and safeguard the national security and foreign policy of the United States.
What do you think about that? Let's just break this down before I go to the next section, because
sure. Well, I mean,
you have to kind of have a reason in order to enact an executive order. So we're seeing it here in all the justifications. I don't know how much merit there is to all of these things. There is some things that Cuba is still aligned with more of that Eastern Russia, China. They are still more aligned with that. But well, what do you think?
What this is, it's more imperialism. It's more us saying that, okay, our sanctions, our soft power, that's our actual weapon. We're waging that all the time on everyone. If you don't submit to that and pay the tribute and comply and have a bank in your country that we approve of, a central bank, we're going to sanction the hell out of you. So that's Cuba.
No, that is Cuba. And I think about this. I don't think Cuba was necessarily an immediate threat. I think they wanted to prevent anything in the future from happening because
they just want it. They just want it for vacation homes and to build new Trump Plaza, whatever.
Yeah. Yes and no. I think the whole point is how close Cuba is. It's a lot of this comes down to the Cuban Missile Crisis, which I will be getting into and a lot of the history behind that. But it's also just the fact of, you know, we want to cut as many arms and limbs off of Russia and China as possible and make sure that they have no ability to have any influence in our sphere. Like, I mean, the distance between Florida and Cuba is very short, and it comes back down to that Cold War rhetoric where it's like, okay, if there's even a remote possibility that this country can align with somebody else, gotta squash it.
And we're not saying that's correct, but that's what our government does. And you're laying it out there. You know, a lot of times people will criticize my dad or come after him for saying something, and that's just the way it is.
It is just the way it is. Now, let's talk about how the Cuba and the U.S. got here, like, because we got to go through this historical stuff.
Sure.
Now, you might be wondering, why does this pressure even exist? So to understand that, we've got to go back to before 1959, where Cuba was run by this guy named Fulgencio Batista, okay? And his government was corrupt, repressive, and heavily tied to American businesses and interests. So the U.S. companies controlled so much of the sugar industries, the utilities, the key infrastructure, and the inequality was severe during that time period, and political opposition was crushed. So then that brings a whole destabilizing to the country itself. And you have a lot of people that are unhappy. So that's what created the conditions for a revolution. So you had Fidel Castro, which everybody knows. He led a guerrilla movement that overthrew Batista in 1959, which he framed it as taking Cuba back from dictatorship and foreign domination. Once in power, the revolutionary government nationalized all of America's property and the things that were going to these
corporations. The sugar, the oil, utilities,
exactly,
land.
All of that. And Washington basically retaliated. So Washington retaliated by imposing two things. They did a trade embargo, and the other one is they started to cut diplomatic ties.
Right.
And then it backfired. you know, on the Bay of Pigs during the invasion that they tried to do in 1961 to get Fidel out of there. And then Cuba finally started aligning itself with the Soviet Union. And then that's when the Cuban Missile Crisis happened in 1962. And then that moment is essentially burned within our psychology here in the United States, if you think about it.
Well, like Rubio has been seething about that literally his entire life. And that's why, you know, like we look at the Trump administration, and it's so balkanized, like all these different officials and people that are appointed to be various different secretaries. I mean, Bessent is messing with the economy. He's messed with Russia. Rubio is messing with Venezuela, Mexico and Cuba, South America. This is going to be really important as a story to track over the years, because this isn't something we're just going to leave alone.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a joke. Like, I mean, Russia did park missiles outside of our country, and just, you know, the distance between that and Florida. I mean, we can't tolerate that as the United States.
And ain't that the argument for Russia, Ukraine?
It
like,
is.
Literally.
It is.
Literally.
I am not even going to be upset about Russia trying to defend its own backyard, because it's the same thing.
It's what we do. It's what we do. And you can say, oh, we're doing it for our evil interests. They're doing it for their evil interests. It's countries.
It is countries.
It's how countries behave at the end of the day.
No, you're right. So, I mean, like we look at this. Basically, United States said a hostile power with nuclear weapons 90 miles for Florida. Not in my backyard.
No bueno. Yeah.
So the Cold War ended, but the policy never actually fully reset. So this is about making the same thing that it was in 1962. And of course, you've got a lot of people that are in power right now that have lived through that time period where they understood what was happening during that. And we've got echoes of that.
Sure.
So let's just look at really quickly a map of Cuba and Florida, and just look at literally how close these are. I mean, there's been people who've swam across the channel between these
two regions. Dude, we gotta watch Scarface now. You're talking about all this.
Now, the U.S. pressure on Cuba was not just executive policy, but it was built into our system. So we had these acts, and it's called the Helms-Burton Act. And it doesn't just impose sanctions. It lays out a transition framework from post-Castro Cuba. And then it specifies conditions for lifting sanctions. It even addresses the emergency needs during political transition. And the legal architecture for a regime, if change already exists, but it's not taking a point, it's setting a statute.
Oh, look, Trump seems to have a fetish for straights, you know? He cares about the Strait of Florida as well, it seems.
Yes. I mean, look at how close this is. The Key West, there are people that live out there, 103 miles, depending on how far, where you actually put that marker. Some people say it's 93 miles or 95 miles, but the main thing is like Cuba is extremely close to the United States. So this all connects to domestic policy, politics. So Cuban American political organizations have shaped Cuba policy for decades. Florida is a swing state. And so the Cuba policy carries electoral weight, there, and it doesn't carry anywhere else. And so.
And that really matters to the Republicans as well.
It does matter. And so the pressure is structural, if you look at it. So it doesn't just reset when the administration changes. That policy and all of those belief systems carry throughout administrations. So let's do this. We need to understand the population collapse and how a lot of Cubans have left Cuba, because it's not an accident. There's a lot of things that have happened. Cuba is severely behind, and a lot of it does come down to the sanctions that we did impose. If you go to Cuba, it looks like you went back in time. They still have a bunch of old cars. The buildings are kind of cracking. Their power grid system, even beyond the oil, it was not.
I mean, look at Iran, too. And that's kind of what we do with the sanctions, is we throw you back in time.
Mm-hmm. And it's a policy that we kept in place this entire time. That is the key here. So the history is what is explaining the pressure, but the situation gets more severe. So there is a number that doesn't get enough attention. So independent demographic research estimates that Cuba has lost 24% of its population in 4 years.
Wow.
That's a lot, guys. That level of population loss normally only happens during a war. This is not common. And over 1 million Cubans have reached the U.S. between October of 2021 and mid-2024. So in 2024 alone, the estimates range from 250,000 to 500,000
Wow.
emigrants. Okay. And some analysts are now putting the remaining population at 8 million and not 10 million anymore.
Yeah, I believe it. And you got people that are willing to brave the Darien Gap just to get out of there. Like, if you're a young person, if you're a smart person, what opportunity is there in a place where there literally is no economy?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very smart country. They're very smart people. The Cubans, they export doctors everywhere. They're involved in all sorts of very neat programs. But if you don't have a place where you can do business, you're going to go somewhere you can't, even if you love your country.
You're right. And Cubans are smart. They have a lot of intellectual people. Like I said, each country has its own. And so you're seeing the brain drain. And the worst part is that government of Cuba has not run a census since 2012. So we're not exactly sure of the numbers. So the one plan for 2024, they did try to do a census, but it got postponed. And so the people leaving are not a random sample. Most of those immigrants are working age. Many of them are skilled. And the population that's left is actually much of the older and more dependent ones. So it's not just an economic crisis. It's a demographic collapse that we're seeing happen in real time here.
Sure. And like that really doesn't work out for a country. That's its real death knell. I mean, look at Japan, look at their youth to elderly ratio in their population. That's not a way for your country to survive. The children of the country are the future of the country. And if you don't have that, if you don't have the young people to do the work and do the innovation and really progress and move things forward, it's kind of a death sentence. You're sentenced to death. So you want to get into this a little bit more. Let's do another minute or two. Actually, you know what? You know, hold on. I'm doing a little slow. Need a little pep in my step. Come back to me. What do we have here, ladies and gentlemen?
We got that methylene blue.
Is this that ultra methylene blue from the AlexJonesStore.com?
Look at this. I think this is the coolest thing as it hits the water. Insane.
That is pure power right there. Let me tell you, I'm put 10 milligrams in about.
You know, when we have a lot of callers that call in, even into your father's show or when you did the segment, a lot of them call about methylene blue specifically.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, let me tell you about what this is. This is a small molecule. You have nitrogen, nitrogen, nitrogen. Then you have the sulfur group and then you have the chlorine group. The chlorine group makes it a dye. That's why it's got that signature, beautiful, crystalline, sapphiric blue hue. And the sulfur group donates an electron to your mitochondrial process. So what that means in layman's terms, it makes you more efficient at making energy, recycling energy, and dealing with free radicals and stuff like that that causes oxidative stress and inflammation over time. So we're going to take this powerful nootropic, we're going to drink it, and I'm going to continue to do the show.
How does it taste? Let the people know, how does it taste?
Delicious. I love it. I was going to try to do the whole thing, but I've been drinking water before, so I couldn't. Now I got it all over my beard. My hair follicles are percolating.
So
right
good
now.
He got it all over him.
Dude, we love it. Here's the thing. This is the top rated product that we have. This has over, like, I think an 80 or 90% reorder rate because when people try it, they know that it's good. Nothing else reduces superoxide in the way this does. Nothing else radically increases glucose uptake in the brain. If you want to think faster, be smarter, if you want to be more active and more capable, consider trying Ultra Methylene Blue from the AlexJonesStore.com. And hey, if you go ahead and make a decision to, hey, maybe you've bought it a few times, you know it's good, you know you need to stay on it, you know you want to take it more, maybe subscribe to it, get it monthly, and get the free t-shirt that you get on top of that for subscribing. Doesn't that sound like a good deal?
That's a win-win, man.
Even better, why not throw in iodine? Iodine's incredible for your mind, body, and incredible for working on your brain, pineal gland, all sorts of wonderful things like that. Get that for 30 to 50% off. If you're a VIP, you're getting things half off right now, like the iodine. So thank you so much. Ultra Methylene Blue, AlexJonesStore.com. We're going to continue doing the show. We're going to have a little bit more of the deep dive leading into the second hour or the third hour. We're going to take some calls, and we're going to have Dominic Michael Trippi joining us.
Yeah, I love DMT, man. He's a good guy. He's an analyst. He's a guy who covers a lot of the news. He's one of those guys that's like covering breaking news as it happens. So I'm very curious to hear his thoughts specifically on what's going on. Maybe we talk a little bit about Cuba. Maybe we talk a little about Iran. Like, he's one of those guys that keeps up to date all the time. So pleasure for him to join us here on coming on the third hour. But we definitely want to hear your calls in the second half here, because I like talking to the list, to the people who are listening, right?
Sure.
You know, you get to have a different conversation, different perspectives. And, you know, I'm curious what people think about everything that we've talked about today.
Sure. Well, the thing that's most interesting to me about DMT is the way he gathers and disseminates all the information that he does, because he's constantly giving really good live updates, really good local news feeds. It becomes a thing where, like, if you're us, you're chronicling this, tracking this every day. There are people like him that have figured out how to build really efficient systems.
Yep.
Right? So I want to help educate the viewers and listeners, people looking for sources, looking for places to go. Where can they find the correct information? Because it is harder to find.
It is harder to find. And I mean, that's what we do here in the show. We're trying to distill down the information for you folks because information is very hard to find. Something that's not partisan, right?
Right.
Like if you go to Fox, you're going to get a more right leaning. You go to CNN or MSNBC.
We
like,
deal in facts.
Yeah. And it just, they always throw a little spin to it, right? So that's the whole point of this show. What we want to do with the American Journal, what we're doing in our own show on the Gray Area Talks.
Right.
If you could put that up for us.
Gray Area Talks.
That is the key here is information, right? And we're not gonna spin it one way. It's like, I'm presenting you the information. Take it as it is. You can agree with me. You can disagree with me. But go ahead and give us a follow if you really liking the information here, guys.
Powerful information. Gray Area Talks, American Journal, a match made in heaven, I think. We'll see you right again here after the break.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out. They put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is exclusively available right now at theallshowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theallshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue, and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
We got Rex. We are in the middle of a deep dive here. We got to continue talking about this Cuban crisis because at the end of the day, this is something that really is important because it's
short and long term.
Short and long term. So let's pick up right where we started. Let's talk about specifically Cuba and what the Cubans want. Now, I'm not Cuban. This is what I have tried to research and understand. I know these issues are much more complicated, but I try to distill it down in a way because there's multiple sides on what people agree on and what they disagree. So the split, this is what most coverage is ignoring. So you've got older exiles, the people who left during the 60s. They often support maximum pressure. So they want some
Regime change.
They want property claims from the nationalization that was happening during that time period. They even support cutting off some of the remittances entirely. But the newer immigrants are a little bit different. Those are the million plus who left after 2021.
Right.
They still have parents, siblings, children on the island, and many of them still send money back home to keep them alive.
I want to make this statement. We forgot to do this at the top of the hour. We're going to continue on with the deep dive. If you want to call into the show, we're going to take a few calls here after we get done with this little portion. Call 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. We'll punch the phone number up there really quick. Continue.
No, we would love to hear from you guys. Maybe you think about, tell us what you think about the deep dives, anything you guys want to talk about specifically. So let's get back to it. So we talked about this, the new money people, the people left in 2021. Again, I said they want to send money back home and allow their people to still flourish.
Right.
And so, you know, they may want political change, but not at the cost of saving their relatives or affecting them at the end of the day. So, you know, people are still inside Cuba. They're a little harder to pull because, and many focus on basics like food, power, medicine, and some want reform and some people want out, and then some people still support the system. So there's no single Cuban position, and that divide is part of the reason why this crisis has no clean resolution. And you know, Rubio is Cuban himself, right?
So yes.
He's one of those people that has not forgot about Cuba and has his own perspectives. Like he wants a specific change to happen there.
To me, it's similar to the domestic Iranians who are, I guess, foreign Iranians that live out of the country and like the Iranian diaspora,
like the Shah,
or whatever, or like the Cuban diaspora. It's people that want to go back and they want to be a part of the old regime. They want the old regime that was backed by America, Batista, to return.
Honestly, before I get into this next section, like I'm thinking about it critically here, and you know, there's only one scenario I see playing out. Like, I want the Cubans to have a more modern society where everything is nice, new. They don't have decrepit, you know, buildings. And not to say that, you know, they're not educated. They're very educated. I think we should come in and offer the opportunity for them to come into the system where they mutually benefit. But at the same time, we don't let them lose their culture. We don't want to just make everyone Americanized.
How about we just remove the sanctions? I know that'll never happen. I know people laugh at me when I say that, but like, why can't we just stop hurting them?
I don't think we remove the sanctions until they actually are aligned more with the West and not dealing with Russia and China.
I hate our mafia, man.
You and I don't always agree, and this is the one thing that I support fully, is I would rather have Cuba being 90 miles away from Florida being aligned with the United States over being aligned with Russia or China and having some sort of like espionage that they can do out of there or some type of tactics. Dude, since the beginning of time, things have not been fair. I mean, there's always one empire that's at the top, whether you look at the Romans, whether you look at the Ottoman Empire, whether you look at the Persians, there's always been a top dog. Like that never has not existed. So it just so happens that America's in that position. And I would rather us still protect our own backyard. And if that means that we allow the Cubans to remain and control their own sovereignty and also helping them get the technology advancement while also cooperating, then I'm for that. You know,
I disagree, but I think that's a logical argument. The argument that I hear you make there, that a lot of people make, is like, well, like, empires exist. This is the reality of the rise and fall of global powers as they tend to exist. And if we're not going to do it, someone else is. If we don't secure that area, if we don't control it, if we don't make sure that there aren't any other players in it, bad things could happen to us. And I understand that argument. That argument's reasonable. However, I would say that America was in a position and may still be in a position to really affect change in the global order that creates a evolution from that paradigm, from that empire paradigm. And whether that's on accident or on purpose, I think multipolarity is coming, but our own backyard is our own backyard. So where I may be hypercritical, super anti-Iran war, super anti all the genocides happening over there, when I look at a conflict over here and I look at the consequences for doing it versus the risk reward ratio, there is a bigger reward for controlling our own backyard versus doing stuff literally thousands of miles overseas, because this isn't thousands of miles overseas.
Gotcha.
I totally disagree with the sanctions. I hate it. I don't think they should exist. But I understand the foreign policy argument that you're making. I don't think it's ridiculous.
Well, and I think we can achieve that while also lifting the sanctions. Like, I want the sanctions lifted as well. I think they should have the ability to have free trade. They should be able to trade with China. They should be able to trade with Russia. But again,
a good relationship with the U.S. is best for their people.
Exactly.
100%.
It is.
You can't argue with that. As much as you'd like to talk morality, it's like we say, it's empire exists.
Yes.
So, yeah, good points.
Now, I want to talk about specifically the oil crisis again, because we got to look at what happens after a year. We're on month three right now, and I've got a lot of things that I put together here on a visual, but Cuba doesn't publish reserve data, but its direction is pretty estimable. So we're looking at when the fuel runs short, the government, does these things. The grid goes first, hospital second, you got the water pumping third, you've got food logistics fourth, and security fifth, and then everything else gets cut. That's kind of the list of prioritization when you look at it. So let's go ahead and let's go to my screen share here, because I want to show people a scenario, what happens if the import of oil does not resume. And I'm going to show you guys this here. This is something that we made here on the gray area.
Very cool stuff we got going on newsletter. What's that URL real quick?
Yeah, so I'm really liking this. They can find us. They can find our link in the bio on our X account. But basically, this is something for our own use. We got phase one, which is pretty serious. We're talking months 1 to 2, and the blackouts get worse and they last longer. You've got the fuel that is being redirected to the hospitals, the food, the water, the state. Public transportation gets cut back. You've got food shortages, and spoilages start to rise, and small business start to reduce their hours or shut off and on. And the daily life is working, but it's clearly slipping. So that's what month 1 and 2 looks like, but it's pretty serious. Now we're here at phase 2, which is month 3 to 4. And this is where we start getting severe in what we're trying to start, where we're starting to see within the actual news cycle, right? So the crisis stops looking temporary. Major grid failures become more likely. You've got private transport gets hit hard. You've got food shortages starting to get worse. You've got water that becomes less reliable. You've got hospitals and backup systems that become more under strain. And then more of the country starts falling behind in these priority zones. And then if we keep going this way, we're getting into the critical phase here, folks. Okay, so this is the breaking point, and the economy is going to start to halt that society relies on for these folks. And if Cuba runs, this is where Cuba starts running out of breathing room. You got fuel reserves that are basically exhausted or completely exhausted. You've got transportation becomes essential only. You've got the shortages returning severely. They're at a high risk of total collapse at this point. And then there is a possibility we do get into a month 7 to potentially out to an entire year. And now the Cubans are going to be in survival mode. And this is something that people need to pay attention to, because if this spans half a year to a year, you're talking about Cuba is in absolute survival mode. You're talking about a new harsh reality where, you know, a lot of the norms that people have been doing in their day-to-day lives, those no longer exist. You're talking about permanent blackouts. You're talking about broken daily life. You're talking about high civil unrest. And this is going to create a mass emigration situation where you're going to see a lot of Cubans leaving because they have no choice. But at that point, it becomes, does the United States take those people in if we are the ones causing this? That is the bigger question here.
Well, I'm sure we'll have to. you know, that'll be the argument that's made by probably the Democrats when they'll be in power, and that'll be another victory for MAGA.
How long do you see this going on for?
Which conflict?
I'm talking about the fuel shortage. How long do you think we're going to keep this blockade up? Because we're at
as long as until they submit. Until they submit, and then they will be lifted, like you say. Mm-hmm. I think that's just the reality of the conflict in which we're embarked. Let's go to some callers here. This is going to be rapid fire. We're going to do it real quick because we got DMT coming up. Let's go to Sean in New York. How are you doing, Sean?
Mega please.
Nice, dude.
Mega please.
Hey, Tim, do me a favor. Just give me one time. Did I do that? There we go. Yo.
Yeah. So, how we doing, Sean?
My feelings are, Rex, this is the first time I'm talking to you, and I'm so happy to have you on the phone. And, Tim, I've also watched your show, The Gray Area, is very good. I want to know, what do you guys think is going to be the end game? Are we going to have a civil war in America? And if so, where do we believe it's going to spark off? During the Summer of Love again, 2.0, or how are we looking here?
Here, let me answer that real quick before Rex steps in.
Sure.
I don't think there's a civil war. I think the situation's a lot different than what we experienced in the 1800s, just purely because we have no longer had separation of like state and federal. Like federal is just completely taking over the entire system. And at the same time, Americans are just stable enough to where there's no reason to like do an all out revolt. And also they have ways to inject money into the system to kind of quell that before.
I'll get into it here. That doesn't last forever though. And what you're really going to see less than like a formal battle where there's like lines drawn and it's like that. What it's going to be is it's going to be balkanization. There are going to be conflicts between states that get just too extreme over time. There's going to be debt issues and really there's going to be economic collapse. And when people can't eat, it doesn't matter what the government does. Mm-hmm. So ultimately you're going to see people demand change into the 2030s, and that'll probably look somewhat violent. We reject that, but I do think it's likely.
Fellas, I've been thinking about this food shortage more and more. I mean, we just had the worst winter of all time.
Right.
And basically, I don't know if you know that the Farmer's Almanac was just bought and put out of business. So somebody took it over and put it out of business. Now, why do you think they did that? Well, one of my reasons is, what I think it is that the Farmer's Almanac was known for creating natural occurrence predictions. Now, since we no longer have natural occurring, you know, agricultural, weather, you know, I don't believe that the people who bought it had a good intentions. I feel it was more nefarious to put it out of business. And if you track back, you could see all the years that the crops and the oranges was too cold for a month and it set back the price of oranges and orange juice. I don't know if you remember that, but it was like maybe 15, 18 years ago. And so, yeah, I believe just like in trading places that pork rinds are on the rise.
Mm. Yeah. Well, anything closing you want to say? Thank you so much for your call, and the support means everything to us, man.
I want to say freedom!
Hell yeah.
1776!
Let's go. Let's go. Hell yeah, man. Thank you so much for the call. Let's get Ben in Indiana. Ben, what's on your mind?
Hello. Sorry, I'm working at the same time. I just wanted to call and just say you guys are a great addition, Rex. I've always thought very highly of you, and your father was a part of my spiritual awakening back in 2021 when I first started,
you know,
listening to you guys. And, you know, I love the whole team, and I really agree with your guys', you know, constructive criticism of the whole point of view. And I just, you know, like you said with the last caller with the Civil War, you know, I definitely think that it's, you know, they're trying to mitigate it with this geoengineering of like the Midwest to where we can't, like, I'm in construction and I can't have a consistent work week because of this constant, we got tornadoes coming and everything. I think they're trying to keep the people that would do the overthrow of a government, of a tyrannical government, by doing this mass geoengineering of the weather.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of evidence for that. I mean, here's the thing. We'll do a chemtrail deep dive. Maybe me and Tim disagree on this. I don't know. But there is weather modification. There are all these things going on. And with the shortages and just there's too many events that we as the citizenry do not control. Got anything else you want to close with here?
Thank you guys for all you do. And God bless you guys. You are, you know, the info warriors and God's warriors. And I pray for you guys every night. So God bless and continue doing what you're doing.
That's incredible, man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let's go to Abraham in New York City.
Good morning, gentlemen. Morning. I salute you. You guys are doing a great job.
Now, thank you.
I want, so in the future, I'm a producer. My name is DJ Intercourse. And could you please, both of you, tell me, like, each of you, what is one of your favorite songs each? And I'll try to make a cool promo song that has a song component from each one of you guys. Now, what I'd like to ask you both to comment on is the King James Bible, how it says, in that region, humanity will find its conclusion after substantial material conflict is overwhelms all of us. Please comment about that, and also how you think maybe the bad guys use that as an excuse to leverage their doing, saying, yeah, it's in the Bible. We'll go kill a bunch of people. It's consistent with the Bible. Everybody will believe it. They'll go along with it. That's all.
Sure. Well, they're trying to bring around an apocalypse. Man, there's a lot of people that believe that. I mean, you talk to Huckabee, you talk to a lot of like the ultra orthodox people that are involved in the government over there. That's kind of what it's all about. And ultimately, we don't consent to that. Like, we're Christians. I'm a Christian. It's not up to us to decide and force God's hand ultimately. I think it's very sick. I think it's wrong. And I think that all the death and chaos and destruction that we see is downstream of that rotten motivation.
Yeah. One thing that I am noticing a pattern here is history is repeating itself, and that's why we like to cover history over the context over the years.
Absolutely.
You're starting to see the human nature. Over several points, people have felt that, you know, that's what's coming, that's what's happening. I see a scenario where at the end of all of this, it actually starts to get better. And okay. Again, it has to get worse before it gets better. But, you know, you go back to Vietnam and you were to ask people during that time period, they're probably feeling a lot similar to what we're feeling like right now.
Sure. Absolutely. I would say High Roller from the Crystal Method. That's a good song. I like that one. Tim, you got a song for him?
I was saying, you know,
toss one in.
I Feel Good, James Brown. You know, I was really feeling that song. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Hell yeah.
Hit me with that, honestly. I think that's a good one for me.
Thank you, Abraham. Wow. Really appreciate it. DJ what? Producer what? What's your tagline there?
Well, I'm known as Build Gates, BuildGates on Twitter and X. But I'm going to emerge bigger later, but I'm also known as DJ Intercourse.
Nice, nice.
Hey, well, go ahead and DM that to me when you get those ready. I'll definitely check that out. Just DM us on Rex. You can find me at Truism Tim on X.
Yes.
And Rex is Rex Jones News with a Z on X. You can find us there.
Awesome.
We definitely do. And you guys are great. Keep up the great work, gentlemen.
Thank Amen. You. Dude, thank you so much. We love the support. Let's talk to Cody.
Hey, how's it going, Rex? I just wanted to talk about, you know, is there an off-ramp to this Iran war? And I heard you guys talking about civil war, and my personal opinion about that is if civil war goes off, there's so many militaries here that have came into our country that everybody's going to be fighting over water desalination plants and electric grids, and we'll be fighting with each other. Also, sure. On the backside of it, I just wanted to talk about I run soundwavemusicmedia.net. We've had Rob Dew on, interviewed him. That was awesome. Talked with John Bound. We love fighting the info war. Yeah, and we're starting to see a lot of rock artists doing the same thing. Like Billy from Smashing Pumpkins just came out, and he was talking about how in the 90s, how rock's fade wasn't like a natural fade. It was very much like the deep state inside of the music industry. We wrote reports on, like, the industry and the big three and all that. But, yeah, more so I want to know about, like, where is this off-ramp to the Iran war?
Yeah, let's talk about the off-ramp here. What do you think, Rex?
I mean, Trump has been forced into a conflict where he's going to have a really hard time extraditing himself. I mean, situation developing. We got Marines en route to the area, apparently to take Karg Island or something like that, but I think that may be a fake out. We've got the Iranian military, which every day we hear that they've been defeated and that they've been destroyed. Tel Aviv's still getting hit. Haifa's still getting hit. Everywhere in the Middle East still getting hit by either drones or missiles. So Trump has to either take all of his bases out and totally leave the region and submit to Iranian control of the Strait of Hormuz, where they have attacks on ships, or he has to effect regime change. So in his mind, I think it's going to be easier and he'll have more support within the own government to effect regime change versus pulling out now. We've seen the Iranian demands, and Tim called them unreasonable. They are unreasonable for what you're going to get, right? But, you know, 6 months into the conflict, it might not be unreasonable if we can't win. So I don't see an off ramp as much as I'd like to find one.
I don't think there's an off ramp anytime soon. And that's specifically because we also have Israel that's in the equation specifically.
Forcing hands.
And I think that needs to stop. I think Bibi should not have as much influence to actually push this.
Shouldn't have any influence.
Yeah. We see there's a clear connect here. I mean, Joe Kent literally went on air and aired out the entire United States business.
And there's no reason for him to do that but to tell the truth, to destroy his political career.
Yes, you know? I think it needs to stop with Israel needs to kind of come back down. The Lebanon situation is also going on.
They need to get out of Lebanon.
That also has to come to an end. I mean, maybe I see this winding down sometime a few months from now, maybe by the end of the year, but it has to because the markets aren't going to be able to keep up with this. And it's going to be economic pressure that's going to create this off ramp. People are going to demand around the world, hey, you are making everything out of control. And when Americans start feeling that inflation, which is what is going to happen, that's probably the inflection point where Trump realizes, okay, we got to stop.
It's the pain point for the average citizen. Yeah. You said you wanted to plug a little bit.
Definitely. I want to plug Methylene Blue, of course. Man, we interview all kinds of people, and we've been doing the test like Alex does. So I'll like either tell them take it or whatever. So I've seen touring musicians that are like, man, through an energy drink, I love this Methylene Blue that you got me hooked on. I can like play my shows and everything.
We love it.
They'll pass out after. Yeah, they love it. So that's awesome, and thank you guys. And then, yeah, I want to plug Soundwave. If you're out there listening to rock music or you play rock music, and I mean anything under the big umbrella of rock, reggae to punk to anything, garage rock, heavy rock, desert rock. We had on Michael Graves from the Misfits.
Nice.
But yeah, we'll cover your music, but also like come on and listen to the music because we are delivering. It's not just the same seven songs every day. Like there is a fire, and rock is the resistance. It always has been. You look at wartime. I mean, any war we've been in, rock music has been pushing us through it. And I mean, what you guys are doing is so great here. It's definitely an inspiration. And more than anything, we all just need to come together and support. And I agree with you guys. I don't see an off ramp. And this just is like, it's COVID all over again.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your call. Really agree with you. Sorry, we're short on time. Just trying to get everyone on the board so we're not rude to them. Let's go to caller number two, Adam. Let's talk to Adam.
Am I on?
Yeah, yep. You are.
All right, thank you. Rex Jones, I've been following you since you were 12 years old.
Nice.
And I've been following your dad since 2008. My pot dealer brought me Endgame, and that changed my whole world.
Beautiful. Love to hear it, man. It's always an honor to hear that people have been watching me, seeing me do reporter stuff, journalist stuff when I was a little kid. That's amazing.
What's your question?
And I have autism and I have disabilities. And my concern is I don't see a lot of hope for the world in this war. And this war is giving me a lot of anxiety.
Sure.
And a lot of I've never been scared in any conflict since I've been alive. But I have a lot of fear and not a lot of hope. What do you think our future is and what it holds for mankind? Rex Jones.
Well, ultimately, and Tim's going to break down some stuff here in a second, but you got to believe in God. You got to believe in Jesus. God is love. God exists. God is real. He's got a plan for all of us. And ultimately, we can't understand it. We're watching all this evil. Good exists as well. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Adam, I know it's very easy for the average person to feel this way, but I want you guys to understand one thing. The news, media, they all have one job, and that's to keep you on
negative.
That specific platform. So they want to push that negative narrative, that negative rhetoric, because that is what in the human psychology gets you to pay attention and to actually focus. Look outside, walk around, go take a walk around your block. Do you see bombs? Do you see anything? Most people are interacting with their people normally and fine. America is in a good position. It may not seem like it, but things will get better. I think everyone is starting to come together.
I hope so.
We're starting to see that we can't be lied to anymore. Independent media is starting to come out. That's why InfoWars exists. That's why we are speaking out. And I do see a light at the end of the tunnel. So I don't want you to get discouraged. I don't want anybody out there to get discouraged because that is what they want you to do. They want you to feel like everything is bad. And it really isn't as bad.
That's right. We love you, Adam. We appreciate you. We're all in this together. We're all part of Team Humanity. We're going to keep being here for you. But ultimately, like Tim says, we just got to be grateful for what we have right now and pray to God and try to be grateful to him for everything that we've received. Thank you so much for your call. Really appreciate that. We got DMT, not the drug, the person, coming up. Dominic Michael Trippi about to join us,
giving us a breakdown of what's going on Middle East.
Stay tuned.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Yes, we do.
So good.
This is my theme song. I really hope that guy makes that video for me. It's going to be my new theme, guys, because I do feel good. I feel fantastic. And we still got some more callers that we want to tune in with. Let's go to number five. Let's go to Benny. Benny, you're on the line. How we doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Doing great.
Hey, Tim, I'm with you on this Cuba thing. I think that this has been going on for over 60 years, and they're 90 miles off our shores. We should be embracing them and doing business partners with them and eliminate the whole Russia influence with them. That they should be part of us. They're that close, and 60 years ago we had the Cuban Missile Crisis. We should let that go.
We should let that go. You're right. I think it's been too long. It's a fear-mongering thing, and at the end of the day, I mean – does regime change, is that the only way that we accomplish that? Like, you tell me, Rex.
I think so. Oh, no. Oh, go ahead. Call it.
I think they would embrace it. You know, I mean, I think that if they could become part of, like, I don't know, necessarily kind of like a Cuba, fall under the protection of the United States and not necessarily have to be a state, but just be involved and be a partner. Like I said, be someone like a Canada and Mexico should be.
Yeah.
Well, let me jog everybody's memory back, because what I was covering earlier specifically, the only thing that can't happen again is what we did the first time before Fidel Castro came in. American corporations shouldn't be going in there and doing resource extraction. That should belong to the actual Cuban people, and we should be aiding them if we want to make deals where they also benefit at the same time. I'm all in support of that. I think that's the only way we get to a situation to where the Cuban people are happy to welcome American corporations in.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. It's just, it's got to prioritize, you know, their benefit and also our benefit as well. Good call.
Yeah. Who else we got on the line? Thank you. Do you have anything else in closing before we get off, Benny?
Yeah, I just wanted to suggest something for your next t-shirt that maybe Bigley can bring it up.
Okay.
I think that they should put globalist, like in like you're doing a definition in the dictionary, put globalist, and then for the definition, put a useless life form who was meant to be swallowed.
Awesome. Well, we like that. I'm writing down useless life form meant
to be swallowed.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you for the call, Benny. Really appreciate that. Let's go to Fayed in Canada. Fayed, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on the show again.
Sure.
Yeah, I called about 3 weeks ago to when Brianna was on, and I just want to continue from that call. Basically, the gist of it is that my fiance was sexually assaulted in 2010.
Wow.
And then I called the police. Yeah. I called the police, and, you know, they said they registered the call. But then after that, I called a month after, and because I wasn't getting a response. So their response this time was for me to stay away from everyone because they were all child traffickers.
Wow.
And they also said, yeah. And, you know, that was the thing. Like, I was complaining about people that I was, you know, suspecting as well. So, you know, that was pretty weird. I got surrounded by this whole anti-police group and political guys or whatever they were. So what happened was later on, the person what happened was my fiance kept calling me back over the years until 2013. And she kept saying that, you know, all these people were after me and they hated me and I didn't know who they were.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. We've only got 30 seconds before the break. But I mean, that's an awful story to hear. We thank you for calling in. Honestly, you got to call back in tomorrow. Rex will be on. We'll have a little bit of a longer segment for you. We're about to come up on break here, but. Thank you for all the callers who've called in. Everything that we're hearing right now, I love the feedback. This is what keeps me going at the end of the day. We are privileged, and it's an honor to be able to host the American Journal. I'm your host, Tim Tompkins. We got Rex in the building as well. Thank you. We will be back after the break with DMT.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know.
Blue.
I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue, 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 blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're tuned in to the American Journal. With Tim Tompkins and Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
You know what this broadcast is like? It's like an asteroid hurtling towards the planet. And as we get closer to the end of the third hour, I just want to do something real quick because we got to do it. You want to know about these deals? Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, we got the America First Faraday bag, America First Tactical Trench Knife, Trench Dagger, America First T-shirt, MK Ultra Plus Atomic Defense. Get that all and more in the Alex Jones Signature Faraday Bag Bundle. This is over $600 in value. Right now, get the entire bundle for just $249.99, and VIP members, if you're a VIP, you get it for $199.49. So you want to go ahead and go right now to thealexjonesstore.com and check out that phenomenal deal. Just like I told you earlier, there's a free limited edition InfoWars t-shirt with every subscription order. You're going to want to take advantage of that as well. You can enter to win right now the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500 2025 Ford Raptor plus $20,000 in cash. Every $1 spent, 100 times the entries to win. Sounds like a good deal to me.
That's an amazing deal. I mean, yeah. Ford Shelby GT, whew, that thing is fast. It's loud. We definitely want to see somebody win that.
We're going to see that person rolling around here, man. We're going to get to meet him. So if you're interested in that, please consider it. We got Dominic Michael Trippi now joining us live.
Hey, Rex, man. Tim, what a pleasure to be with you guys, man. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, man.
We made it on the big time now. We on the TV. Yeah, dude, we're doing the InfoWars show. What do you think of that?
I think it's pretty big league. I've really been enjoying the show. I mean, you know, I enjoy the gray area as well, but when I see all the lights, the production value, you know, it's fantastic, man. And honestly, you guys are doing a great job. Very commendable.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And we love working with you and having these conversations. Rex and I were talking. We were like, we got to get DMT on because you're one of the guys that just knows exactly what's going on in the world. You're always on top of the ball. You know exactly. You guys go ahead and follow.
Phenomenal updates.
He has updates every single hour. And these are important updates. And DMT is one of those guys that I see as giving real information, not just spewing out slop that you see sometimes on X. So DMT, let's talk a little bit about what's going on because you got a different angle to this. You keep up with the news. What's going on right now? What do you see as the hot ticket item?
So what we're seeing right now is we are obviously seeing a great deal of market manipulation from President Trump and the Trump administration. Clearly, their move has been to send in the assets during the week, then actually attack during the weekend. So right now, it seems to be the trend that everyone is discussing, a cessation of the hostilities. They're discussing a possible ceasefire. They're talking about J.D. Vance going over there and potentially discussing, you know, a deal. The thing is that the words of this administration have proven to be the last thing that you can actually rely upon. And the movement of all of these assets, the deployment of many of these specialized troops, amphibious units, that is what says it all. And that to me is the greatest indication that the hostilities certainly are not coming to an end anytime soon. And I actually think that we're going to see the United States escalate in an attempt to eventually de-escalate. So I think, you know, think of it this way. You go to a 4th of July fireworks display, and typically the biggest fireworks and the biggest booms are always saved for last. I think that we're going to try to really do some serious shock and awe over some point over the next 7 to 10 days. And at that point, perhaps then we may potentially start to actually discuss, you know, a cessation of the hostilities.
So you see a peace deal or at least some sort of agreement or talks is likely?
Well, it all depends on how this next move actually goes. I mean, the only way feasibly that American escalation could lead to a further winding up of this war is if we were to hit critical infrastructure in Iran and the Iranian leadership basically made the choice that it's not worth the cost of human life and our civilians in order to keep this going. So, I mean, as of right now, we need to take into account Israel. It's like, obviously, the United States has their interests. The United States has their objectives, but clearly, those don't always align with Israel. And by all indications, Israel is absolutely committed to a full-scale regime change at any cost. So it's very hard to prognosticate what actually is going to happen because Israel is that wild card that's going to be pretty difficult to predict what they do. So as far as a short-term ceasefire, no, I don't see that at least within the next month or so. I mean, realistically, a lot of these troops and these amphibious units aren't even going to arrive in the Middle East for another 7 to 10 days. So no, I don't think there's going to be a ceasefire anytime soon. However, I do still think there's just so many possibilities right now that it would be difficult to give you truly a prediction that I have a ton of confidence in. I can if you want, but that's where I'm at right now.
Well, Rex and I were just talking about earlier on the show the actual peace plan, and they seem to be some overlaps, but some are wildly different from each other. Like Trump seems to be giving the better deal for the Iranians almost than some of the things that I saw Iran giving concessions on. I mean, they want that long-range missile capacity as well.
Plus their national security.
Yeah.
That's
so,
the one
so
I was
what
making.
Do you think? I'm sure you've seen the two deals, and we can read over some of them, but what's your thoughts?
So as of about 25 minutes ago, Iran formally rejected the 15-point plan that the Trump administration, through intermediaries, sent to them. Iran has 5 sticking points that flat out the United States and Israel are not going to agree to. So I'll read the 5 as follows. Iran is insisting on a complete halt to aggression and assassinations by the enemy. the establishment of concrete mechanisms to ensure that the war is not reimposed on Iran, guaranteed and clearly defined payment of war damages and reparations, the conclusion of war across all fronts and for all resistance groups involved in the region, and they are also demanding that the U.S. exit and close down all of their regional military bases in the Middle East. The chances of that happening are honestly less than zero.
Yes.
And so again, we find ourselves back at square one. You know, now it seems like the Trump administration wants to go back to what they initially were trying to discuss as far as a peace deal. But the issue is that during the last peace negotiations, as you guys know, America and Israel bombed the hell out of Iran. So, you know, you're seeing a lot of Iranian leaders release statements that are basically along these lines. They're saying, we are not going to negotiate with these same parties that completely betrayed us and did not act in good faith. And now they're also mirroring a message from, I believe it was a British intelligence officer that said that the primary negotiators, Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, are essentially acting as agents of Israel. And, you know, obviously we know, like, of course, like, it's not all Jewish people that are involved in this, but I think that it would be almost inappropriate not to say that it is true that Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner are indeed Jewish individuals. And of course, Israel itself is the center of Jewish identity, was founded on the fact that it is the Jewish state. So I think that it is reasonable. You know, you see like Laura Loomer, you see some other personalities saying, oh, this is anti-Semitic, oh, this is trash. But the reality of it is, I think that them wanting a Christian or a non-Jewish negotiator to be going through these details, I think is kind of reasonable. I really do. So as of right now, the negotiations don't really seem to be going anywhere. There's a lot of contradictory information. So I think this weekend is going to be very telling as far as the future of this war.
Well, tell me, DMT, who do you think has the cards? Who holds all of the power in this negotiation? Because I can't definitively put my finger on either side, because Iran has some pretty strict control over the strait, but the United States and Israel clearly have superiority when it comes to military capacity. So who do you think actually is the one that has to concede more than the other?
That's a great question, Tim, and you brought up a very good point. Obviously, the military might of the United States cannot be matched in a traditional sense. What you're seeing is this asymmetric warfare, yes, and strategic excellency from Iran. I mean, you're seeing, I just saw today, I just sent two videos to Tim, actually, of Iranian-backed Iraqi militias using first-person view drones to successfully take out a Black Hawk helicopter. Wow. And successfully take out the Sentinel radar system at Camp Victory in Iraq. So the thing is that, of course, on paper, the United States has very clear advantages as far as equipment, as far as capability. But as far as actually controlling the region, using asymmetric warfare tactics, cutting off economic supply chains, cutting off the oil, I honestly do think that in this rare instance, Iran actually does hold most of the cards, because truthfully, If they were going to do what was necessary to truly break the back of the global economy, I feel that Donald Trump likely would end up exiting and winding this up pretty soon. And I know you were talking about that earlier, Tim, in a prior segment, talking about how the economic pressures are ultimately going to be what leads to the end of this war. And that's truthfully what I believe. Now, there's basically two ways that it could end. It could end from an unbelievable, unprecedented amount of violence, of destruction of civilian and critical infrastructure throughout Iran from the United States and Israel, or it could end because the United States simply decides that the cost is too great, the economic fallout from, you know, a lot of these global moves and, excuse me, a lot of these oil moves and a lot of things they're doing with Hormuz and several other things, it might just not be worth it. And again, those would be the two most likely outcomes, but then again, you've got Israel. And Israel, you know, I don't agree with this. I think it's ridiculous, because Iran has never attacked unless they were provoked. But clearly, they believe it's an existential crisis, and that is where Israeli interests and U.S. interests simply don't align. And that's also where it's evident to me that clearly the U.S. was drawn in or pulled in or forced into this war, either by coercion, blackmail, or just straight up manipulation. And It's incredible that we are where we are right now, guys.
I feel like the ground invasion is being pitched to Trump as a lesser of two evils by Netanyahu. We see the videos of Netanyahu come out and say, well, it's going to require a ground element. There are going to be boots on the ground. Of course, there won't be their boots. There'll be American boots. Because what's the alternative? Nuclear weapon? Nuclear weapon deployment? So when you look at the scenario there and you're Trump and you've got to make a decision and you can't de-escalate, you can't leave, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? You're going to commit the troops and then it's going to expand and turn into a regional conflict. Speaking of regional conflict, DMT, I know you're on top of global news all around the world. We've seen a lot of saber rattling from Israel regarding Turkey and Erdogan and the situation up there. Do you think that that is the next jewel they have their eye on?
Unquestionably. Absolutely. They actually, I believe, some sort of Israeli, you know, there's so many Israeli propaganda accounts that are posing as like MAGA patriots and things these days. And I guess the difference between MAGA and pro-Israel is essentially nothing at this point. But I saw people releasing propaganda videos showing, who was it? It was, Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas. It was Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah. It was a couple other guys that Israel has killed. And then the camera pans over to the side and they show a video of Erdogan. Clearly, and you can even say, I've seen some memes going around saying, it's like someone pretending they're a boomer in 2030 saying, hey, I know that you were right about Iraq. I know you were right about Iran, but this time we're right about Turkey. So clearly, look, this whole thing about, when people used to pretend that the Greater Israel plan was some conspiracy theory, clearly that's not the case. They wear the patch on their own frickin' military uniforms. The actual, you know, the series of events that's led up to this, then, taking out different global or different regional powers in the region, we'll just go through it real quick. They took out Hamas. They took out Hezbollah in Lebanon. They are working on, they overthrew the Assad regime in Syria.
Julani
now man. What was it? Libya. Now they're working on Iran. And it's just to the point where, they're being very open with their intentions. And yeah, absolutely. After this whole quagmire with Iran is finished, whatever the conclusion may be, they're most definitely going to set their sights on Turkey and they're going to continue on their path to complete their objective of becoming a global hegemon and a regional superpower, global superpower.
Can we take a minute to talk about Lebanon? Because you touched upon it. And it's like, again, one of those secondary things that's happening.
Million people displaced.
Yeah, million people displaced. They basically have now carved out an entire section of southern Lebanon at this point. Very eerily similar to the last conflict. So how does this play out, DMT? Because, you know, it's not just Iran in the equation. Like Lebanon is also going to have to come up to a peace deal with Israel. And now the United States is starting to see this is getting a little out of control right now.
Absolutely. Well, historically, Hezbollah and, you know, the fighters in southern Lebanon have given Israel a great deal of trouble, as far as ground warfare is concerned. And actually just a little bit earlier today, I saw that the IDF has activated 400,000 reservist forces and they have stated their intention to not only continue their incursion into southern Lebanon, but they actually have stated their intention to hold the territory. So very clearly, if you look into Israeli military doctrine, if you look into what their actual goals are, they have always wanted to annex a great deal of territory in Lebanon. And realistically, they actually want to inhabit and control all the territory leading all the way up to Damascus. So their plan and part of the Greater Israel Project is to take and hold a great portion of Lebanon. Honestly, the whole thing, if they could feasibly justify it, but they'll have so much global pushback if they were to take a city like Beirut, which has thousands of years of rich history, you know, they probably would not end up taking Beirut. But as far as a great deal of Lebanon, a great deal of Syria, they're open with their plan. They even want to take the Sinai Peninsula. They would love to start reengaging in those wars. And perhaps they will once they feel that America no longer, you know, really offers them so much and they don't care about what America has to say or their potential interventions. So no, I think that they're absolutely going to increase and escalate the situation in Lebanon. And I think, you know, they talk about this 8-front war all the time. And as you just mentioned, Turkey, they want to expand this. They want to cause as much global chaos as possible. And in the end, I think they want to rule over a heaping pile of ashes and fire. I mean, I really do. Yeah. And if you listen to them, that's actually what much of their doctrine, much of their religious ideology, it's what much of it says.
Yeah, well, you're talking about this. You're talking about the apocalyptic fantasies, both of the Christian Zionists and then of the ultra-Orthodox over there in Israel. There's another element to this we're not considering. How do the Gulf states feel about all of this? How stable are they? Are they worried about their populations rising up to overthrow them? Are they worried about the U.S. being more of a liability than a benefit to them as a quote-unquote security partner or whatever, meaning we control you, put our base in you, and we don't attack you? What do you think about that?
Oh, the Gulf states right now are panic stricken. The reason that you are seeing influencers that are from Dubai, like, obviously the Tates, but you're also seeing one of their guys, I believe his name is Joel, his nickname is the Sartorial Shooter. Anyways, you're seeing people that are running very obvious propaganda in these Gulf states because the Gulf states, their current form is all based around being essentially a utopia, an oasis in a very chaotic region. And so, you know, people talk about Dubai being a place of peace, a place of global prosperity. What do you think it does to that image when the nicest hotel in Dubai is literally getting a drone directly ran into it with an intense explosion accompanying it? It absolutely is destroying the facade of the image that they have given of Dubai and they've given of Qatar and, you know, in some instances, even Saudi Arabia. They're trying to modernize their society. They clearly are very interested, you know, their guiding principle is money. And so this regional turmoil, they absolutely can't stand it. At first, they were trying to reach out to Iran and basically just say, you know, obviously there's the Shia and Sunni differences, but you're our Muslim brothers. Please stop hitting our bases. Please stop hitting our territory. And even Trump himself in a press conference yesterday, he mentioned that he was so surprised by the fact that Iran struck all these bases and struck all these GCC states repeatedly. And so I think now the Gulf states are in panic. And since they've proven that they cannot deter Iran, they cannot stop the missiles, they're not able to truly stop the chaos there. Now what you're seeing is many reports of the Gulf states asking the U.S. to escalate and to increase their military involvement in the region.
You know, talking about the Sunni Shia stuff, you know, you're talking about the Middle East and you're talking about the Gulf countries and what they want. And they were surprised. I don't think they realized or thought that these were going to be direct attacks on them. But there's also another aspect to this that we don't talk about, because Saudi Arabia and Iran have never been friends, right? Like, I'm sure they have tried to work things out, but because of that spiritual or religious difference, the Saudis do have a reason for Iran to be taken out, right? Like, a majority of Muslims are Sunni, right? So I think it's like 80% to 90%+. So it might be 80, but they also want their own interests within the regions and they don't want Iran there. So I think MBS and some of these other Gulf countries have been behind the scenes having conversations.
Oh, they've been rooting for it.
They have been silently rooting for it. I don't think they realized it would get this out of hand.
They'd be exposed for doing that.
Right. But I think there was an aspect of them getting involved indirectly and they have plausible deniability. That is really what I'm looking at the scenario as well, because there's no way that MBS was not supporting this. They've been having conversations with Donald Trump in the United States. You've been seeing that marriage for a very long time now here.
Yeah, I agree. And there is actually, you know, at first there was many reports discussing that, you know, MBS was privately pushing President Trump to increase activities in Iran. But actually, there's been public reports of it now as well. And, you know, if you think back, just if you actually think back before October 7th, you know, I believe that Saudi Arabia and Qatar were very heavily considering joining, we'll just call it an Abraham Accords 2.0, if you will. And that was, you know, we were on the precipice of Israel normalizing relations with Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And the thing is once October 7th happened, you know, as far as the discussions I'm familiar with, MBS essentially said that he would still like to normalize relations with Israel. But again, this is a monarchy. This is a royal group. There's a lot of, you know, there is actually dissidents in Saudi Arabia and there are people that are against the royal family, but you know, they like cut their head off if you actually were to publicly dissent. So we don't hear about that very much. But basically what I'm saying is that it would have been such a bad PR move and so wildly unpopular amongst the general public that the normalization discussions, they ceased after October 7th. So no, I definitely think that a lot of these global players, or excuse me, a lot of these regional players in the Gulf certainly want a weakened Iran. And, I think that right now, after they've been hit pretty hard and they've suffered some reputational damage, I think that you'll see them continue to lobby the Trump administration to increase attacks.
Okay, we're going to stay on this. We're going to be with you after the break. We're going to close out this hour with the great DMT. You can find him on Twitter. We're going to go ahead and throw up his Twitter. But cut back to me really quick. I got to let you guys know the Hodge twins are coming on the Alex Jones Show at 1 p.m. You do not want to miss that. Another thing you don't want to miss is the America First Faraday Bundle Pack. You get all these phenomenal items. Check out the deal on the site. Every dollar gets you entered to win a Ford Raptor, a Shelby GT500, everything you could ever want on thealexjonesstore.com. You get a free t-shirt when you subscribe right now. You get iodine 30 to 50% off. You get all these great items. They're all available for you on the store. And I want to reiterate again, you get to win vehicles in the raffle. And I've met the winners. They're phenomenal people. They're great guys. They come do the show. They come get in the car. They get handed the money. Like, it's the ultimate 360 win.
It is. And I'm excited to see that interview at 1
Yes. o'clock, yes. Hodge Twins on Alex Jones Show. Hodge Twins on the Alex Jones Show. That's going to be 1 p.m. Central Time. Is MAGA over with the Hodge Twins? I'll tell you, I'll be watching. Tim will probably be watching. We're all in the audience with you guys. You know, like if you're watching your favorite InfoWars broadcast, you're hanging out. I'm watching it at home, too. I'm listening to it in the car when I'm walking my dog, whatever. We love this network. We're honored to be on it. We're going to be right back with Dominic Michael Trippi. We're going to have a great time with him going over the Iran war. Tim Tompkins, Rex Jones.
Thank you, folks.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell. And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway. And a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this hazard to put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue, With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallshowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theallshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Right about to hit our destination. You're about 30 minutes away from the Alex Jones Show. You got the great Hodge Twins coming on at 1 p.m., but we're closing it out with the great DMT, aren't we, Tim?
Yes, we are. This has been a great conversation. He's an expert on a lot of topics. He gives us the latest news. We love having this conversation, and we want to continue. I know you got some questions for him.
Yeah, I've got one more question I wanted to ask you, and then Tim's got an excellent point/ask he wants to give you on Cuba. What is the state, because you're really on top of the news and you've got great sources. What is the state of U.S. missile interception systems like the THAAD, like the Patriot? Are they truly out of munitions to fire up these rockets? Because we just see these videos of these missiles, these drones hitting these cities.
I'm just going to cut straight to the chase. We are at the lowest level of interceptor stockpiles in the history of modern United States. After just the 12-day war, mind you, we're on day 26 of this conflict now, and there's been way more missiles to intercept this round. Just in the 12-day war, we had expended so many interceptor missiles that we only were down to 25% of our remaining supply. And that was last summer. We are only able to produce 4 THAAD missiles per month. And that's on a best case scenario. They also cost in between $12 and $15 million. And the launching unit itself is $1 billion.
Oh!
Adversely, the drones, the Shahed 136 Iranian drones, it was previously believed they cost $20,000. Most recent estimates have actually confirmed that they cost somewhere near $7,500. So really? We are using a $12 to $15 million missile system to take down a drone that costs $7,000. It's simply something that the United States cannot continue to do. And actually, funny enough, we were talking about the U.S. interceptor supply, but clearly they're being used for Israel. They're being used for all these places in the Gulf. They're being used for everywhere that's not the United States. God forbid we actually have an attack here. But very interestingly, and very, we'll call it ironic, I guess, but I don't know if you guys saw this, but a Volkswagen plant in Germany is now actually stopping the production of automobiles, and they are producing interceptor missiles for Israel.
Like Hitler.
Due to this absolutely never encountered before
Tell me your line, DMT.
We're screwed on interceptors, guys.
He's telling you the truth, dude. Like, just like Volkswagen worked for Hitler, you know, the same type of thing.
No, but here's the thing. Ukrainians, they've dealt with this situation before. We should be taking as much information, which I know we're trying to, but the Ukrainians have been saying, hey, we've dealt with this. We realized that the math wasn't adding up, and they have their own type of counteractive systems that we should be focusing on deploying.
We don't have a modern military, Tim, and I think that's the point that we really gather and learn from the situation that's unfolding right now. It's like you say, like $15 million to shoot down something that costs $7,500. That's not congruent. That's not 21st century.
Well, I mean, you know, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, they're all salivating right now. They're excited. They're like, I'm seeing dollar signs, money, 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 money. And so like we've seen the conglomeration of just these five corporations consolidate all of the power, and they have the ability to charge the average American taxpayer this amount of money, and it's going right out of our bottom line. So
absolutely.
What do you think about this, DMT? Who's making the money out of this? I think we all can come to this conclusion.
Well, I mean, obviously global defense contractors are making buku bucks off of this. You know, really hedge funds, large banks, energy companies that are not being directly affected by the shortage in the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, all these people are making money. And a lot of times people don't actually, they don't actually take that into account. Just because the common consumer, the average American, may be struggling financially because of the economic conditions that this war creates, the actual economy itself and the big wigs and the fat cats, they often just make more money off of these conflicts. And actually, you can go back to, I believe it was about a week ago. I think his name is Stephen Haskins. He's an advisor to the president. He's some type of financial advisor to the president with an official White House role. And he actually even said, oh, well, the United States economy can handle this war for a year or for a sustained period of time.
Lord have mercy.
It's the American consumer that is going to get beat up by this. And that's the thing that is so wildly frustrating about this whole war to begin with. You know, it's like you see right now these neocons, these pro-Israel zealots that have taken over the MAGA movement, and they're consistently telling any honest patriot that is anti-war, that is actually just trying to hold Donald Trump to his campaign promises, and they are treating them like an actual enemy of this country and a material supporter of terrorism simply because they are trying to hold the president accountable to his promises. And I think that, you know, it's just such a disgusting situation because the average American is who is paying for this. The average American who is doing worse because of this decision. So it's not just a betrayal, but it's actually, you know, materially putting people back, and it's inhibiting people's progress. And so there's just so many reasons to be upset about this other than the terrible loss of American life, the terrible loss of innocent children's lives,
yes,
bombing schools. It's just, it's out of control, and the man does not seem to have a plan. And it seems right now that, you know, America's floundering, and we're really taking on a lot of reputational damage because of this on a global scale.
No, you're right. We are taking a lot of reputational damage. And you look at the rest of the world, what's happening right now. You know, for the first time, you've got these European countries starting to make deals with China. You've got Canada starting to make deals with China, and it came from the tariff situation, and now you're just seeing
we're not a reliable partner,
and people are starting to realize India was supposed to be our counterbalance to China's manufacturing. We have now pushed them away
from us. We screwed them too.
So again, it's like, where does the ball roll? Does the entire world just say, okay, well, we're just not going to deal with America anymore, and we're just going to go over here and work with BRICS? Like, that is the scariest situation that I see, DMT.
I 100% agree. And right now, I don't think, how could we interpret the actions of America other than anything else than pushing global players into the arms of China? Because we're proving to be, at the very least, a very chaotic and oftentimes unreliable partner. The only partner that we have not been unreliable to, that we've bent over backwards for in every instance, is, you guessed it, Israel. Even the Gulf countries who have given us $1 trillion within the last year, who have honestly been tremendous allies to us. Qatar, yes. We have Al Udeid base there, is one of the largest military installations in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
They let us use their territory. They have been extremely kind to the Americans and to our government and to our military, yet we continue to screw them over for no feasible reason other than just for Israel's benefit and their global pursuits. And so, yeah, it's very disappointing. And I think that you're going to see other countries continue to go to China, continue to go to Russia, and you're already seeing it now. And so, yes, I think that, you know, America is acting like an empire that's on its last legs. And I don't want that to be a case. I'm a proud American. I'm a proud patriot. I do not want America to be faltering, but I just don't think that any honest observer can call it anything else but that. Clearly, America is on decline. Well, and you know, the more that we decline,
nice.
The more that Russia and China are going to be bolstered in every way.
We're winning every day. We're winning every day. What are you talking about?
We're number one.
Go ahead, another victory.
Another victory. Well, you know that victory is carrying us into Cuba, and I wanted to ask you about this, DMT, because, again, this is another one of those things that's in the passenger seat. Not a lot of people are talking about Cuba when we should really be focusing on Cuba as well, because America's flexing its muscles. We've basically blockaded them for the last 3 months with oil, and it's becoming a real crisis there. What are your thoughts? What have you been hearing from your sources? What have you been obviously you've been keeping up with the story. Give us a breakdown of your thoughts.
Well, you know, you guys have mentioned something earlier. Rex, you mentioned earlier that when something's in your backyard, then you have a little bit more of a vested interest in what goes on there. You know, if you own a nice house and all of a sudden there's some riffraff going on in your backyard, you're going to be a little bit concerned. My whole thing is that, you know, Cuba, they don't really truly have any power. Yes, they are in close proximity to the United States, but do you really think that the U.S. was going to allow some sort of weaponry or some sort of anything that could truly harm the United States? I feel like mainly the U.S. has already controlled Cuba in many aspects already. So as far as cutting off their fuel, cutting off their relationship with Venezuela, which is leading to a humanitarian crisis because of a lack of energy, honestly, I think the Cuban people have gone through enough. They drive cars that are made in the 60s. They live in a lot of dilapidated conditions. I saw some recent footage of fantastic journalist Ryan Grimm from Dropsite News, who actually he just gained entry into Cuba last week. And some of the things going on in their hospital systems, I mean, they're just, honestly, they're crimes against humanity. So I think at the very least, we should have some sort of measured, a little bit more of a compassionate policy towards Cuba. We have a lot of Cuban immigrants to the United States. I think a lot of the actions we've taken against Cuba have been inappropriate, to be quite honest with you.
Now Rex and I disagree on this, specifically whether the United States should be in more control of that and steer the ship. You kind of had a different perspective than me. You were saying, well, it kind of almost needs to be like a free market situation,
well,
right?
You know, me and you, we disagree on it a little bit. I think we're closer than I originally thought, because here's the thing. Obviously, they're right next to us. We have more input over what goes on there by the very nature of the security risk and the potential economic risk of Russia or China coming in there and doing what we're going to do. We're going to control that area regardless. Why don't we give some of the foreign aid we've given to these other countries to them so they can have hospitals, so they can have schools, so they can have infrastructure? We never do that. We never take care of people. We hit them over the head with sanctions. We bully them. Why can't we have a generous, friendly approach, kind of like the Chinese do, kind of like a Belt and Road, but of our own, where we go, hey, like, why not help us, let us help you develop this nation?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. But I wanted to ask you another question relating to the Russia-Ukraine conflict, because, of course, we've got the Iran thing going on. We've got the Israel thing going on. We've got Cuba going on. The Ukraine war has been raging for years and years and years, and all we see is more escalation. I mean, in 2024 with Biden, that was like the most dangerous time. We were right there on the threat escalation ladder, the targeting of the nuclear triad and all of that. Now Ukraine has hit Russia, or one of Russia's largest oil depots. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I did see the oil depot. I believe it got hit with a drone strike. You know, as far as the situation with the Ukraine-Russia war, I mean, it's a classic war of attrition at this point. There hasn't been any serious territorial gains. There really hasn't even been much, substantial military victories on either side in quite some time. They've just really dug in the trenches. It's now total asymmetric warfare, constant drones, one-off attacks on cities here and there. It's been kind of a strange situation. I just think the United States should have pulled the funding from Ukraine a long time ago.
We were promised that. I thought he would end it in one day. We were promised that, and then we just get spat in our face and told to like it, basically.
Well, the thing is if we would have just cut the money, Ukraine would have essentially been forced to a position of negotiating and probably seceding some of that territory in the Donbass. And ultimately, I think that's what's going to happen. A lot of these people are Russian native speakers. They don't really like Ukraine. They actually like Russia. You know, they historically were part of Russia. So I think it's a very unfortunate situation. Many of these people are essentially, you know, they're ethnically related. They're of the same people. And I think that it doesn't really serve any interest other than just keeping these global military contractors, keeping a lot of these globalist organizations profiting. So I don't really understand what the point of it is at this point, other than just a forever war that continues to enrich all these parties that contribute to the corruption and the degradation of our country.
Well, when we provide supplies, we provide logistics, we provide Starlink, ultimately, we're helping to kill Russians. We're helping Ukrainians kill Russians. So how do the Chinese, for that matter, not look at the Iran conflict and say, hey, it's time for us to get our get back? You know, it's time for us to be in that position in the U.S. where they're in a proxy war.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, unfortunately, China and even Russia have proven to be a lot more measured, and they've planned a lot better, and they've been less impulsive than American military minds and American leadership. So I think Russia and China probably realize that, you know, if they were to get heavily involved with Iran, that absolutely would trigger it, there's nothing else you could call it. That would be the beginning of World War III. And I'm not sure if they think that the cost of saving Iran is worth that for the potential fallout for their country. Right.
I agree. And we've seen them be so measured.
Yeah,
really have.
I think the focus for China right now is Taiwan. That's all they care about. I mean, they have been playing 4D chess. They understand that the world is no longer going through these like conflicts in which military wins out. They know it's the economy. It's the guy who actually has all right. the economic output that controls all the cars,
so
the influx of money. So their focus has been, well, instead of, you know, going into Africa and putting a gun to their head, let's give them very big loans to where they're indebted to us and they owe us money. And then we can control them that way. When it comes to Taiwan, if they get Taiwan, which they will probably take with military force, we're starting to see a lot more exercises going on out there while the world's distracted with Iran. If they take Taiwan, that is all the power.
And you think about it, the U.S., we pretend to be the world policeman. We protect global shipping. We're the world's navy, basically. China doesn't even control their own South China Sea. So they've had to go over land, which is why the IMEC corridor and why all that Belt and Road stuff is so important. They've been trying to figure out a way out of the trap that the U.S. has put them in, but now they see the empire imploding.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I understand this. As far as China and Russia are related to Iran, understand from their position strategically, the longer that America continues to go on with this war, expend tons of resources, weaken themselves reputationally on a global scale, every single bit of that benefits both Russia and China. So if I was in a leadership position in Russia or China, I would say, let's let these idiots hang themselves with their own rope. They're continuing to make poor decisions. They're continuing to act out of arrogance and out of completely lack of planning. And so the longer this goes on, the weaker the U.S. gets, the more spread out U.S. assets are, which creates essentially the inability for the U.S. to even substantially intervene in Chinese objectives to take Taiwan. And I absolutely believe that China is going to take Taiwan. And I actually don't even believe that the United States is going to put up as much of a fight as we like to act. Like I have a nephew of mine he's a naval officer. So I hear some discussions about what's going on and what he thinks. And he thinks that, you know, we're preparing for Taiwan and that the Taiwan thing is going to be some huge issue. I wouldn't be surprised at all if China, they're already flooding assets closer to Taiwan. They're already positioning ships surrounding Taiwan right now as we speak. You can look it up. They've been putting assets in the area already. I think eventually they'll continue to stack assets. And at some point, whether it's over the summer or whether it's over at some point in the next year, once the U.S. has officially, it's very known that they're spread too thin. The military might isn't exactly all that it was, chomped up to be. I think you will see them move, and you know, you were talking earlier, Rex, about how it's a multipolar world and that, you know, the U.S. is continuing to deny that evident truth, and that's absolutely the case. We do live in a multipolar world now. It is a global society in many senses, and this war with Iran is weakening America as far as our positioning in this new global power structure.
Yeah, well said. I mean, and I just want to summarize this for everybody. The United States cannot afford a conflict on three different fronts,
right?
It's not economically sustainable. South Korea and a lot of these other countries, Japan is pretty upset because we're moving assets from that region over to Iran. So you got Ukraine, which we're still supplying support for and weaponry. You've got Iran. And then again, China comes into the equation. They do that. We cannot be able to, we can't defend that. There's no way that we can support that financially. So
Wow. Powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. Where can people find you, DMT? We're going to throw up your Twitter here again. Thank you so much for coming on the Journal. We hope you do it again.
Absolutely, man. Thank you guys so much for having me. It was my immense pleasure to be on here with you professionals, just killing it. American Journal has never been better. Loving what's going on with InfoWars right now. It's terrible, obviously, the persecution. I'm aware of what's going on, but at the same time, I mean, you guys have been putting up a fight like a heavyweight champion, so just hang in there. Appreciate your guys' efforts. Find me on X, D. Michael Trippi. I'm only really on X, so that's where you guys can catch me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man. We always get the best guest for the show, don't we, Tim? Yes, we always get the best guest.
I love it, man. And DMT's a good guy.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much.
So, you know, I want to take a moment and just like,
decompress a little bit.
Yeah, let's just decompress a little bit, because I know a lot of things have been doom and gloom. There's a lot of things that we talk about and it's very easy to get black-pilled. But, you know, I encourage people, you know, after you're finished watching your daily show today from InfoWars, you watch Alex at 1 p.m. with the Hodge twins, you know, maybe you catch a little bit of the War Room in the afternoon. I encourage every single person to go out there, spend some time with family tonight.
Absolutely.
Honestly, like, because I remember this guy, the caller, he's calling in and he's asking, everything is so dark, Rex. Like, sure. What do I do? And honestly, the best solution is to just get offline for a couple of hours, spend some time with family, go on a walk, pet your dog, take him on a walk. It just, those things are the things that ground us in reality. And it makes you understand that everything is going to be okay. Everything is fine. Everything about social media is designed to make you feel panicked. That way they can control you into influencing your psychology and making you make decisions. Panic buying starts happening. Somebody's making money. You get caught in an algorithm and they give you the For You algorithm. They're purposely putting the same narrative over and over and over again in your face. And these are the ways that you can combat it.
Yeah, hug your dog, smile at somebody, open a door for somebody, talk to your family, talk to your grandma, your parents, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter. Just take care of the ones that you know and love. Pray to God. We're living in a tough world. It's a fallen world. It's an evil world. It is the world we live in, though. We're all born, we live, and then we die. And what really matters is what happens in between those two dates. So we're sitting here chronicling things for you guys. We're doing things in a solutions-based manner where we actually talk about the problem so we can talk about the solution. It's not headline worship. It's not clickbait. It's real foundational information about everything that's been going on. And again, we are just so grateful and honored that you chose to take this time and spend it with us.
Yes, really, you didn't have to sit here and listen to two guys. We know we're the new guys on the block.
Right.
At the same time, we're trying to earn our stripes here because we really care about every single listener that's back at home.
Yes, we do.
And the whole thing for me, guys, I spend hours of my time outside of the show whenever we're doing our own personal show on the gray area, whether we're doing this on the Journal. I spend thinking, okay, what's something new that an audience member can learn from us today?
Absolutely.
Because I genuinely care that every single person has the opportunity to get out of their situation no matter what it is. And information is one of those things that you can protect
yourself. Information is power, and that's why we're in an info war. We got to stay knowledgeable. We got to stay informed. That's why it's so awesome to have the great guests and the great callers as well, because we get to really have that dialogue with people and develop and see where we're at, where they're at, how they feel about the world, and what we can do to make it better.
Yes. Now, one thing I do want to talk about here is that bundle. I know you were talking about it earlier, but
yes,
you know, let's go through that again, because I saw everything on here. I'm like, I would want some of these
things. Faraday bag bundle. Get Faraday bag, trench knife, t-shirt, four supplements, six supplements, and then the Warcry smelling salts. You're getting about 7 to 9 various items. It's a phenomenal deal, phenomenal offer. You save a lot when you're a VIP already, and just become a VIP. You basically get a supplement for free at discount each month. You get in-store credit. That's what you want to do. And keep in mind, when you subscribe, when you become a VIP, all of these things, you're going to get a free t-shirt. So that's something to keep in mind. That's very important. And you get entered to win cars, get entered to come to the studio, do the show. It really is a cool, unique thing. Can we get the Power Drive bundle punched up really quick? I want to show you guys the Power Drive bundle. The value there is incredible. The America First bundle, that's awesome as well. But if you want something designed to work with methylene blue, I've got Methyl Drive and Power Plant. I've got CoQ10. I've got PQQ. I've got the cordyceps mushroom, the golden root, all types of minerals and methylation agents in that blend, in those particular products, I'm here to tell you right now, I made them myself to work in conjunction with Methylene Blue. So if you're taking Methylene Blue already, check out Methyl Drive, check out Power Plant, plug it into Google, plug it into AI, ask it about the ingredients, ask it about the formula. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to find anything as good, comparable in any way. These are products tailor-made to work in conjunction with Methylene Blue. Phenomenal.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Again, you didn't have to, but you're here with us. I will not be in for the rest of this week. I'm doing this Monday through Wednesday. Rex is going to be holding down the
base. That's right.
Doing a solo tomorrow. Still catch him. I'm still going to be watching. I'm still going to be tuning in. Also, tune in at 1 p.m. That's going to be a
Hodge
phenomenal
Twins
guest, guys. Alex's show is always marquee. That's the one that you guys come here for, so you're not going to want to miss that at 1 p.m. Anything else from you, Rex?
It's just amazing. Just want to thank everyone again for listening to us. You're going to want to catch Alex Jones, Hodge Twins. Is MAGA over? Wednesday, March 25th. That's today, folks. 1 p.m. Central. You can watch it live on X at Real Alex Jones. I'm sure it'll be live at band.video and other places as well. Thank you for being a part of the network. You, the audience, the viewers and listeners, we are all InfoWars together. The network would not, could not, should not exist without you, and we always acknowledge that. It's a radio show on TV. 31 years ago, my dad said that. That's what this is today. So you want to be a part of the conversation. You want to be a part of the gray area, the American
Journal.
Follow
us on Gray Area, guys. We're on X, too. You can catch us on our own personal show. If you love us, we'll be on Thursday and Sunday nights at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you, folks.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification and the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexandstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexandstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexandstore.com, and I thank you for your support.